ಎಂ ಶ್ರೀಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಧಿಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾನಂದ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕೆ ಜಯಂ ನಿತಿನಿಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕೆ ಆನಂದಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ಬೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರವಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಗೋಡಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಗೋಡಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿಗೋಡಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವಿನ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಮಿ ಶುಭದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇಶಮಿರೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ಜತಾದಿ ಸುಭದಾಂದಿಯಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣಿ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಶ್ರೀ ವರ್ಷಭಾನವಿ ದೇವಿ ವೇದಾಯ ಕೃಪಾದಯೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಂ ದಾಯಿನೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯೋಜ್ವಲ ಪ್ರೇಮಾದ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪಾನುಗ ಭಕ್ತಿದ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಗರುಣಾಶಕ್ತಿ ವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ದೀನಧಾರಿಣಿ ರೂಪಾನುಗ ವಿರುದ್ಧಾಪ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತದ್ವಂದಹಾರಿಣಿ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬನ ಸಾಂಬೋಧೆ ಪದಾಂಬುಜಾಯ ತೇ ನಮಃ ನಮಃ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಗೌರಶಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ರೂಪನೋ ಗೌರಾಯ ದೇ ಗೌರಾವಿರ್ಭವ ಭೂಮೇಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನಿರ್ದೇಷ್ಟಾ ಸ ಜನಪ್ರಿಯಾಃ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸರ್ವಭೌಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಾಯ ದೇ ನಮಃ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪ ಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಾತ್ವಿಕಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋವೇಶ ಗೋವಿಗಾ ಕಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಕಂದು ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ಜಯತಂ ಸುರತೌ ಪಾಂಗೋರ್ ಮಮ ಮಂದಮದೇರ್ಗತಿ ಮತ್ಸರ್ವಸ್ವದಾಂಬೋಜೌ ರಾಧಾ ಮದನ ಮೋಹನೌ ದಿವ್ಯ ವೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯ ಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾದ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ರತ್ನಾಕರ ಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥೌ
श्रीमन्राधाशील गोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्टालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्रासरसारम्भि वंशी वटतटस्थिता कृष्णन् वेणुस्वनेर्गोपे गोपीनाथा श्रीयेस्तु नाम तत्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिपोदितं भगवतं नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन गृहीतां पुराणमुनीनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवति अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुलारविन्दाय तवत्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीपा प्रपन्न पारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्सु सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गन्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राह्यवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामाविकर्णघोरमगला दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवच सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाध्यानगकेसरम् हरिगदा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पेडीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारतभङ्गचकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनः श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गम् लङ्घयदे गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैः सवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैर्क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितगद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणे देवाय तस्मै नमः
After Krishna has spoken about Varnashrama Dharma, which is in the 18th chapter, Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishyana Shudra, and their Swabhava, their nature, that's what we discussed in those verses from, you can see that 42, 43, 44, they are all those verses, isn't it? Then, one conclusion Krishna has said, as a conclusion he said, it doesn't matter which varnam one belongs to, that if he follows the rules properly, he can become perfect. That is one important statement there. 45th verse. Sve sve karmani abhiratha samsiddhim labhade nara sva karmana nirada siddhim yada vindadi takshrano. That's an important verse. Krishna is saying that doesn't matter which varnam one belongs to, but if he can also, anyone can become perfect, but he's going to explain to us how that's possible in any varnam, does not matter. Sve sve karmani abhirada. Sve sve karmani abhirada. Sam siddhim labhade nara. Whatever karma one is absorbed in that, how can he be perfect there? Krishna says, and sva karma nirada siddhim yadha vindadi manava. How can one be engaged in one's own karma and he can reach that state of perfection there? That's an important statement. There itself, Krishna has told us clearly that varnam is not the important thing. How the particular karmam that has come to us, how that's being executed. That is an important factor, not the varnam. Svese karmani abhirada samsiddhim labhate nara. So karma nirata siddhim yadha vindadi manava. So after saying that, we have seen all that, then Krishna said, yada pravrtir bhudanam yena sarvam idam tadam svakarmanatam abhyarchya siddhim vindadi manava. Krishna saying there that Krishna is present everywhere, in everything, isn't it? Yada pravrtir bhudanam yena sarvam idam tadam. There is nowhere where Krishna is not present. And Krishna is the source of all beings. Every living being is coming from Krishna. He says, a man svakarmanatam abhyarchya siddhim vindadi manava. A man can attain perfection through performing his own work. So work can be a medium for which perfection is possible in life. So those things we talked about before. And then finally we saw that last 47th verse, 47th one. Shreyan, Swadharmo Viguna, Paradharmal Sunishtidal, Subhavan Yadam Karma, Kurvan Apnodi Kilbisham. Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunam, whatever karmam has come to us in the modern context, whatever karmam has come to us by Prarabdham, accept that. And Paradharmal Sunishtidal, don't go and jump into all other karmam in this world. Subhavan Yadam Karma, Kurvan Apnodi Kilbisham. Because if we execute that karma based on the vasanas what we have inside us, then that karma will not create any harm for us. This is the important message there. There is a lot of things in this verse. If you really understand the central theme behind it, the important point what Krishna is trying to tell us, that karma, like the way we see the karma, we are used to seeing the karma based on the profit and loss from that, isn't it? Some karma we execute and we make a judgment, it has come out very well or it's gone very awfully bad. Both are wrong actually. Krishna is not looking into the result of the karma at any time. Whatever karma we have executed, the result is not the important thing. What Krishna is saying is, that through that karma, have we managed to wipe out the vasana from inside? That's more important. If the vasana has gone away from that, then that karma is successful. But instead, if you have done some karma, the results may be very profitable or very, you feel from the material point of view or the material world is appreciating that. But in reality, all it has done is created fresh vasanas inside. Then that karma is not admirable. It's not appreciated from Krishna's point of view. This is the one important principle there. That karma's beauty of karma is if it's get rid of the vasana from inside. There is a lot of vasanas inside. That's why this karma is coming back to us. Those karma comes to us because of our vasanas inside. That's why a particular type of karma keeps coming back to us again and again. So there we have seen that even Krishna says swadharmam, that even if it has got some bad elements in there, it is better to do it rather than doing somebody else's karma. That's an important thing. That we, when we execute karma, it's not never perfect. No karma is perfect. That we have to accept first. No karma is perfect in this world. So Krishna is saying here that even if your karma that has come to you, even while executing that, there may be problems in there, or there could be faults in that, but it is better that you don't do somebody else's dharma, So, my own fault is better than if I think that somebody else has got some better qualities. So I'll do that karma and I'll have those qualities in me, which will not happen. That is what Krishna is pointing out. So, in these things, you will understand that in practical life itself, many years if you work, you will realize this point, that just common sense only, you need it to understand this point. You only require some common sense. So, because even if we have some defects in us, and with keeping those defects with us, we live in this world, and we continue with that. So, instead, if I see that I have these defects, but instead I will look at somebody else and see all the his good qualities, and I start imitating them, Krishna says, don't do that. Don't do that. Because that is what he is saying here. Shreyan sadharmo vigunal paradharmal sarishtigal. That is what that means. That don't imitate others and try to think that I'll become like him. This mistake everybody commits in life, isn't it? Devotees think, they think Haridas Thakur, they look at Sanatana Goswami. Oh, Sanatana Goswami was only eating once in 3 days, a little bit butter. So I'll also do that from tomorrow. That will not work. What will happen? I'll end up in the hospital. Because I haven't reached that state of consciousness like Sanatana Goswami had. Similarly, Haridas Thakur used to chant 192 rounds of Hare Krishna every single day. And he was in that state. Now I start thinking tomorrow onwards I'll be like Haridas Thakur and start doing that. It will not work. Everything is like that. So looking at somebody and thinking, in spiritual life we always make this mistake all the time. I try to do something which I am not. And I end up in problems later. That's the point Krishna is warning here. That Shrayan Sadharmo Vigunal, whatever, wherever Krishna has put us in life, accept that. That is honesty. And that is what Krishna, that is surrender. That is surrender. Wherever Krishna has put us in life, accepting that is surrender. Not going against the arrangement from the Prakriti. Krishna has put us in a particular reason for that. There must be a reason behind it. Otherwise, why are we like this in this situation? There's a reason behind that. Don't go against that. That's what the point Krishna is making here. In a subtle way, that's what Krishna is saying here. Shrayan sodharmo vigunal paradharmal sanushtidal. And subhava niyam karma kurvanatnodi kelbisham. That verse is very important. Because it's only indirectly Krishna is telling us, don't go against the nature. Don't go against the nature. If you go fight against the nature, you will fall. That's what will happen. Many people this has happened, even in spiritual life. Material life is always happening, but spiritual life it happens because of our over-enthusiasm or some misunderstanding in our understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying there, Shrayan sodharmo vigunal paradharma sunishtidal subhava niyanam karmam kurvannapnodi kelbisham. So, because karmam is controlled by subhava. Inside karma is controlled. You will understand this better when you go through life a little bit and you will see these things happening again and again. You feel, realize that better to be situated in one's state, wherever one is positioned in that way. So, even the work what we are executing now in life, whatever that has come to us, even if there are problems in there and it is a struggle, in spite of that, keep that going in the same way. And what will happen is, after a long time, you will realize that because that karma has come to you as a part of your swabhava, because of the nature inside, so when you are settled down, you will realize that how to remain in that work and what adjustments you have to make. You will know that in your work. and that you will realize it yourself, because that you can understand that in every work, that once you have settled in a particular state, because that karma has come to you according to your sabhav. That's why the karma has come to you. The particular karma has come to you because that sabhav was inside. These are all two subtle things to understand. When Dakshinamurti Stotram, when we discuss, we will discuss this a lot more than here. But important principle is, why have I been put into a particular situation? Because there is some vasana inside, and in order that vasana to go, that karma must go through. That's the way it is in life. We are thinking we are independent and making decisions. Nothing is nobody is independent here. Right from American president right up to the man in the street, everyone is working under these rules. Nobody can deviate or break that rule. It's not possible. So, advantage, Krishna says, if you stay with that karma, what has come to you in a natural way, if you stay there, what will happen is you will know after a while how to adjust with the situation, and then you will not feel great difficulty there. Instead, if you go and pick up somebody else's work and you don't know how to do that work properly and you don't have that subhavam inside to stay in that work, and because you may not have that qualities in you to in your system you may not have the qualities, but out of ego I have gone and taken up that job. Out of my ego I have gone and picked up somebody else's work. But in my system, I don't have the qualities. Then what will happen? Then I will suffer. So, and that is when sodharmam becomes vigunam. See that word Krishna is saying here? Shrayan sodharmo vigunal. Vigunam means that. Then I have gone and taken up somebody else's work. I don't have the sobhavam in me, qualifications in me, or the qualities in me required for that work. Purely out of my ego, I have gone and started doing that. Krishna is saying here, so that will cause problem. Shrayan sadharma vigunal. So, even in our work, there may be so many negativities in our work, which you know, there is so many negativities. There's so many problems also. And we may think that the work is not a very good job what I'm doing at the moment. But others will tell you also, you are doing some useless thing. What are you doing? What's the benefit of this world by your work? And this is misconception in our mind about karma, is it not? We will say, also devotees also say this, isn't it? Your work is all useless, whereas I am serving Krishna directly. They'll put it to you and they'll, for a minute you will start thinking, oh, what a misfortunate situation I've ended up with. And you're thinking about another person, that how fortunate you are, that you're directly employed by Krishna. And all kind of foolish ideas. You think Krishna is so stupid to make such laws? Never. That's not what he's saying, and that's not what the acharyas are saying. It's our mental concoction, that is. And this is very prominent among many people. They propagate this idea that you're going out to work and doing all kinds of work in the factory offices and all that. What's the use? Whereas look at me, I'm completely fixed up in Krishna's service 24 hours. No, it doesn't work like that. So, so people will say that your work is all useless. What I'm doing is the right one. Nobody's going to get any good work here in this world. in fact, if you look at sometimes, Krishna's work itself is not very good work, sometimes. And after that only, Krishna is going to put us into this difficult situation after he has created us. And all these problems what we are experiencing in life, creation, maintenance, dissolution. And people will ask this question, why is he doing all these things then? Why is he doing? So, what is the need for this creation? They will ask this question. So, Krishna himself says sometimes that I have created didn't come out very well, he says. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this. He's saying, anityam asukham logam. He's saying, I have created this, but it happened to be like this. Temporary, full of misery, this world. So you can see Krishna is admitting there himself that I have created in this way, full of problems. Imam prape bhajasvam. So, not to give attention to what Krishna has created. That's the most important thing. Not to give attention to what Krishna has created, this world, the way it is. Because Krishna is saying here, the way I have created, Krishna himself is admitting that there is a manufacturing defect to this world. You can see that every day. Is it not? We are always thinking, why there is so many wars going on in this place, that in Ukraine, in Palestine, in Egypt, in Libya, in Korea, or whatever it is, so many places wars are going on. Why is it like that? Krishna says, don't look into it, because I've created it like that. If you can accept that, then you have got over a big problem. Otherwise, if you keep thinking that this world is going to be perfect one day, and keep on spending your time in perfecting this, making this perfection here, it is never going to happen. That's a strong warning there. So, because he himself says, there is manufacturing defect in this world when I have created. Anityam asukam logam imam prape bhajasvamam. So, what can we do about it? And whom can you blame for that? Krishna is saying here, in the work here, there will be good and there will be bad things. But creation in our plane, it's not perfect at all. And if it is, creation is not perfect. In your plane, creation is not perfect. That's why all these problems coming. And if it is like that, how can you perform an action perfectly in this creation? That's the question you have to ask. Is it not? Creation, Krishna is saying, is not perfect. And how do you expect to perform an action in this creation perfectly? That's not possible. That's the important thing. So, that will continue like this way it is going on. But where is perfection then? Perfection, Krishna is saying, when you are situated in your spiritual identity. That's the only place where you are perfect. When you are situated in the platform of the self, you are perfect there. But you are coming to the platform of the body or platform of this world and trying to create perfection there, it will never, never happen. That's the important warning there. Shrayan sudharmo vigunal paradharma sanushtidal svabhava niyadam karma. How much more can we direct? Svabhava niyadam karma. Karma has come because of svabhavam. And svabhavam, therefore, so, Swarupasthiti, or situated in one's own spiritual identity, is perfection. Not action. Action is not perfection. What we are trying to do is to make the action perfect. Thinking that it will be perfect. It will never be perfect. No action is perfect in this world. Nobody's action is perfect in this world. But this is spiritual understanding. Spiritual knowledge is when you realize that I have nothing to do with this body, nothing to do with this world. My identity is different than all these things, and I come to establish myself in my spiritual identity, there is perfection there. Till you get to that platform, perfection is not possible. Till you are living in the world, identifying with the body and the mind, and then trying to make all the actions perfect here, it will not become perfect. That's the underlying meaning of this verse. And the best example is Krishna Avadaram itself, Krishna's appearance here. What all things Krishna has done here, and what all things Krishna had to do here, and is that everything what Krishna has done was very sattvic things? No. A lot of rajasic karma Krishna had to perform here. Battlefield, fighting, all sorts of things, isn't it? Full of rajogunam that was, activities were. So, and whatever Krishna had to do, he did everything. Whether, from our point of view, if you look at it, they were in sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Krishna was not in sattvagunam, rajogunam. That's not what it means. What it means is, the karmam was, if you classify the karmam, some of them were in the sattvigam, some of them were rajasam, some of them were tamasam also. So, in spite of all that, Krishna says that Krishna kept doing things in this world, what has to be done. And what has come, Krishna executed that karma, whatever he had to do. So, that means, vihita karma. Vihita karma means, Not Hirakarma does not mean do whatever we like, whatever that karma, pick it up and start doing that. What has come through destiny? What has come through destiny? That's a very difficult thing also. What you can understand is that certain karma, the reason one particular karma has come to us is because of the vasana inside. These are linked to each other, the vasana inside and the karma. It has a relationship, otherwise it won't come to us. First instance. So, paradharmam, Krishna says here, paradharma swanishtidal. Paradharmam, if you do that, paradharma means, what is the problem is that is not come to me, that one has to know oneself. That's the only way you can, nobody can tell you that. You got to know yourself, because lot of things about us, we have to know. Nobody, there's no one else who can tell you. No psychiatrist or a doctor or anybody can tell you about your own body as much as you know about your body, isn't it? You know certain times that the body, what is it looking for, what adjustment is necessary in your own daily life. A doctor is only an external help. He'll help you to the extent what he can. But within reason, you have to know your own body where, when you require sleep, when you require food, when you need to be quiet, when you need to withdraw from the world, or when you want to get involved in the world, all these things, changing situation, one has to know oneself. You shouldn't look upon the outside agency to tell us. Nobody to dictate to us. We have to know ourselves. Similarly, our mind, observing our mind, what problems we have in our mind, and what is actually causing that problem, disturbances, all this we have to sense ourselves and act accordingly, sensibly. That's our duty. Not the world from outside is not going to tell us. Similarly, paradharmam also, Krishna is saying here that what is karmam that has come to us through prarabdham, or which is also called due to vasana inside, which is called prarabdha vasana. A particular karma has come to us, and that you will know after a while. Living in this world, this fits me, fits with my nature. It fits in with my life in this world, and I'm satisfied and peaceful about that. If that happens, then you know that is not paradharmam, it is swadharmam then. In the modern context, you can only say like that. Whereas in the ancient times, because the varnashrama dharmam was followed rigidly, and now varnashrama dharmam has completely broken down. So therefore, the knowledgeable people in Bhagavad Gita, they have spoken in this way also, that the dharmam, swadharmam is now today, is after you doing through it for a while, you will know that you will fit in with that particular dharmam. It's not creating disturbances anymore inside. And if you are settling down in that dharmam, you can more or less take it that that's a karmam that has come through prarabdham. So that karmam that has come like that, that is swadharma in the modern context, what Krishna is saying. But instead, if you think that, people have these different ideas that if we do pick up some new engagement or new kind of activities, and even it may look, appears to be wonderful when you look from outside, but it will create problems inside later. It's because what is destiny has brought in front of us, and what is matching with our swabhavam inside. If you do that work, even if there is defects inside, after a while you will be able to adjust with this and survive in that work, survive in doing that. That's the advantage from that. So that is an important principle, Krishna is saying. That's important. If you understand that principle, Krishna says, it will do some good to you. What is that good? That's the next verse. 48. So, see that 3-4 verses. After Varnashrama Dharmam was spoken, 45, 46 and 47. Three verses, Krishna is putting this very subtle point to us, to take it seriously. What's that subtle point? Subtle point is this, that karmam that has come to us through destiny or prarabdham or due to vasana, whichever way you call that. And in that karma which you have been thrown at, if you are able to do that and you feel settled there, even if there is some problems there, not to take it seriously. Not to take it seriously, because Krishna says in due course of time, your mind will adjust to the situation and you will be able to accept that. And that will do something good to you. Idea is, karma should not get into the head and make it worse. Many new karma, that is a problem. If you entangle too much with the karma, karma will suck all your energy out. And then 24 hours you will become a think tank, as they call it. Karma should not develop that habit inside. Idea is to create shanti inside, not agitate the mind and the brain. If you get it agitated, that is the point, that is the reason why he is saying this. That somehow karma has to go through. Karma comes because of vasana inside. Prarabdham there. The prarabdham is in the form of vasana inside. Prarabdham inside us in the form of vasana. And that vasana to go, that karma may help to the vasana to get through that karma. That is the idea behind it. But instead, if I start looking at others and start thinking that if I do other karma and I may get a name and fame in this world and world will recognize me as a personality, important personality, and all kinds of ideas can come to my head, and I'll go and jump into something and then I'll make a meal of it, the whole thing, and I myself will suffer from that. I'll cause problems for others. It didn't help you to remove your vasanas from inside. So there's so many disadvantages there by doing somebody else's karma. That's what Krishna is pointing out there. After saying that, Krishna is saying here that what is the advantage if you do your own karma, what has come to you in due course of time, how that will help? First of all, you'll be able to, even if there are problems, you'll be able to adjust with that and stay there after a while. And if you, Krishna, let's look at that verse now. 48th verse, isn't it? Sahajam karma kaundeya.
Sahajam karma kaundeya.
Sadosham apinatyajet. Sarvaram bahidoshena.
Sarvaram bahidoshena.
Dhume agnirivavrita.
Dhume agnirivavrita.
Sahajam karma kaundeya.
Sahajam karma kaundeya.
Sadosham apinatyajet.
Sadosham apinatyajet.
Sarvaram bahidoshena.
Sarvaram bahidoshena.
Dhume agnirivavrita. That's it. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham abhinatyajet sarvarambahi doshena dhume agnirivavrita. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature. O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. You know how much people have abused this verse? They'll go and do some nonsense and things go wrong. And then they say, oh, Krishna says every endeavor is covered by some fault. They'll justify it that way. You can twist everything, isn't it? People do that. They say, because Krishna is saying, yes, it is true. Every endeavor is covered by some fault. Just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature. O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. This, if you have to analyze these verses in your own life and experience, and you have to see how you understand that verse. You understand. I can only tell you what I have understood and what others have, I have read from others. What Ajahn Swami has given a long commentary on this verse, running to pages after pages. So he is saying here that just in all work, in all the work what we do, is just like the fire is covered by the smoke. Fire is also smoke. Similarly, all the work is covered by faults. All the work is covered by faults. You can never say any work which is perfect, isn't it? So, in every work there is faults. There is fault. So, earlier, you have to connect these verses with before what Krishna has spoken in the third chapter. There he said, yogam karmasu kaushalam. Remember that verse? Yeah. So, yogam karmasu kaushalam. There he is saying like that. Karma must be performed, he says. And you also have to know what is yogam karmasu kaushala means. Yogam karmasu kaushala means after executing a karma that you should not be affected by the karma. That is kaushalam. Expertise in karma. The expertise is that after executing that karma, it should not affect you. The karma should not affect you. Your karma should not affect you. So, that is kaushalam. People understood that word in a different way. What they say is, yoga karmasu kaushalam means that if you are very good in doing your work, yoga karmasu kaushalam. They put this as an emblem in the Life Insurance Corporation and all that. You see how people twist the whole thing. Because they didn't get the point across properly. They picked one verse from there and found one line of that suits their motive in business. So they put that outside, yoga karmasu kaushalam. That expertise is doing the work the best way. Karmasu kaushalam. If you are very expert in doing what you are doing, that is yogam. They gave a commentary on that, in that way. Completely misleading. Yoga karmasu kaushalam is not that. Yoga karmasu kaushalam means, because if you understand that chapter, karma yogam, Krishna is pointing at one thing, that karma is executed, the purpose behind that is the vasana must go from inside. To release the vasanas from inside. And in that sense, it should not create fresh vasanas inside. That means you shouldn't get affected by the fresh vasanas. You shouldn't build up inside. All this is implied in that verse. So, I remember I mentioned before, this word kaushalam comes from the word of kushagras, plucking the kushagras. There's a way brahmacharis go and pluck that without hurting the, because kushagras is very sharp on the sides. It can actually create scratches your finger and blood can come out. So that becomes a problem. But they have a way of doing that in such a way that they become expert in that. So it's from there this word kaushalam has come, from cutting the kushagras. So similarly, while working in this world also, whatever problems are there from the work, that defects or the bad side of those things should not affect me. Should not affect me. I have to learn that while engaging in karma. Like in the modern world, you are doing various kinds of work here, isn't it? Some people are working as in the banking industry. Some people are working in the stock shares, and some people are involved in various kinds of industry, arms manufacturing, and various chemicals manufacturing, which outwardly may look okay, but the product is used for killing others. All the various kinds of industry, if you look at it, you can see a variety of things. And practically, if you look at it very carefully, you will see many of them are very destructive and very damaging to the human population and for the material nature as well. So in these situations, how should one survive? That's the question. Krishna's point here is that you have to be careful about that particular work what we are doing, the impurities of that work. Impurities means the bad side of that karma should not affect you. You have to learn that yourself. And you have to do the work also at the same time. And pravarti, that work what you are doing, if it has got any after effects, that after effects should not affect you. In such a way, you have to do this work. For example, business. If you take business, a businessman has to do a lot of things, isn't it? That for to develop his business, he has to lie, he has to cheat, he has to do various things. The business world is like that. But if you identify with it to that extent, that will become your vasana then. Then it is harmful, if that becomes your vasana. And therefore, Krishna is saying here that Sobhava niyadam karma kurvan natnodi sarvarambhi doshena dume agni rivanala. And last verse Krishna says, സ്വഭാവനിയതം കർമ്മ കുറവന്നാപ്നോതി കിൽബിഷം. റിമെമ്പർ ദാറ്റ് സ്വഭാവനിയതം കർമ്മ, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ്. സ്വഭാവനിയതം കർമ്മ കുറവന്നാപ്നോതി കിൽബിഷം, കുറവന്നാപ്നോതി കിൽബിഷം. ഫോർ എക്സാമ്പിൾ, സീ ലൈക്ക് ഇൻ ദ പോയിസൺ, സംസ് ദർ ഇസ് വേംസ് ഇൻ ദർ, ദർ ഇസ് വേംസ് ഇൻ ദർ, ബട്ട് ദ പോയിസൺ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഹാംഫുൾ ഫോർ ദ വേം. സിമിലർലി, സപ്പോസ് I have a prakriti like that, I have a nature like that in me, then that nature won't affect me. That nature won't affect me because that is my nature. That is my nature or prakriti, svabhavam in other words. Suppose I have that svabhavam in me, then it will not affect me. It will not affect me. So what it is Krishna saying here is that anything what we do here, in this world, all of them, if it gets dissolved in the prakriti, if it gets dissolved in the prakriti, some people have that nature in them. They are used to this lying things or doing things in their own way, all these things. That's their nature it is. There's nothing we can do about that. But if in their nature, and if those people are in the business of these various kinds of work, what they do, and if it is in their nature, that won't affect them. That won't affect them. Whereas inside you, you are a very honest person. And if you have to do business, and there you have to lie, that will cause conflict inside. Have you noticed that? This is all comes from practical life in this world. You will realize this. Some people, they are very good in presenting to the world, they are gentlemen. Isn't it? They are gentlemen. But if you look at their actions and the way they speak and they do things, you will see that they don't have any problem in their mind. There is no conflict inside. They carry on doing what they are doing, and in their eyes, they are doing the best thing in this world. They are saving the world, in other words. They are thinking like that. They are saving this world. But somebody else is looking at him and saying that he presents himself as a very honest person and he behaves like that, but if you look at his actions, it doesn't support that. That's what you will say like that. What Krishna is saying here is that because in his svabhavam this is there, this lying nature or duplicitous nature, when he is working there in doing various kinds of things, those svabhavam, what is coming from there, it will easily get accepted inside because his svabhavam is like that. Because it is svabhavam like that. So therefore, there is a difference there. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That the svabhavam inside has a big impact on the karma, what you are doing outside. So many of these siddhis, what we call siddhis, are like that. So the advantage there is, if these siddhis, for example, certain people, I'm saying siddhi means, when we say siddhi, siddhi means certain qualities in certain people which you don't see in everybody. Like some people have that particular nature of, speaking in a way that influences others, isn't it? So that kind of capacity, so are like that because if that siddhi, that particular perfection or siddhi, if that comes, dissolves in his prakriti, then he won't have any pride from that. You know what I'm saying? That ego won't be there. Provided that siddhi gets dissolved in him. If it doesn't get dissolved, it will create false ego inside. I don't know whether you are getting the point what Krishna is saying here. Krishna's point is that it is very subtle things, these are. And the point is, Krishna is making, that some people are in a certain way disposed in this world. So now, and they are acting in this world in a particular way, according to their svabhavam, they are acting in this world. Now you are observing them from outside and seeing that there is some this causing some disturbances in your mind, thinking that that person, what he is saying and what he is doing, doesn't seem to be properly adjusting each other together.
So you may think that is it not causing any friction? No, because his swabhavam is like that. That is why he is acting like that. He has no difficulty. Sometimes you can see, I'm not particularly pointing out, see these estate agents. Have you observed them? How they do business. Many of them are like that. They can't be honest in that business. They have to sell the house, isn't it? They won't get money. Now, they won't point out any of the problems of the house. They'll tell you all the good side of the property. They'll glorify it, matured residential area and all sorts of words for that. They will. And when you see a property, the way they have presented it, when you leave that thing and you go and look at the property, what do you find? You think, is this the property what they were talking about? You start thinking about it, isn't it? But after, if you look at that person, he has no problem saying what he's saying. He has no problem at all. This is only one example I'm saying. There are so many others like this. Every product, every company sells is like that. This is my own example I'm saying. That I have problem with the teeth. I purchased one, the dentist told me that you buy this particular, he said you should use a mouthwash, particular mouthwash, he said. I went and bought it and I used it. When I went to the consultant tells me, it's all waste of time. He says, it's useless, he says to me. So company is telling this, projecting this to people, the marketing people are projecting, in every shop it is sold, Boots and all, Co-op, Chemist, everywhere you look, it's there. And it's more expensive than all other mouthwash as well. So the problem is this, that company has to sell. They are manufacturing it, isn't it? But the dentists are saying it's not very effective. They are saying like that. It's not effective. Similarly, if you think all these medicines, what they are selling, it's all doing its job? I don't think even 50% of it is effective. Majority of them are just marketing and nothing but marketing. Whole industry is running on that principle, this medicine industry or this medical industry. You got to know your own body and you think what is right for you, you do it. Or little help you can take from the doctor. Even they are puzzled about it. For example, if you take these statins and all that, there's about 10 different types of statins in the market. So I understand that. First, when you go to the GP, he will give you the cheapest statin and try it out if it works for you or not. Then you start getting the reactions from that. Then you go back to him. He'll put the next one grade up. Like this, they tried because it's all controlled by money. Money. So that is the principle of this world. So you can't do anything about it. That's the way the world runs. World runs on those principles. So similarly, these siddhis, all what we, when we say siddhi means these perfections what we have, certain capacities or capabilities people have got, that is, you may appear to us that they are not right, but they are right for this reason, that person has got that quality in him. Like this estate agent I was saying, he is seeing that it is okay to sell. He has to say all the good things about it. And if you point out anything which is, that is up to you to find out if there is any problem with the property. That's your problem, that's not his problem. His problem is to sell it to you and to run, get his commission or whatever. And similarly, many products in the market, in the shops, when you buy, if you read it, and then nowadays they have in the Google, they'll give you the comments about the users, isn't it? That opinion about the by the users. And then you look at that and try to make a judgment. Nothing will work. Precisely, it's not possible. Because when you buy the product, how it may not be the product you really wanted. There is so many manufactured goods in that way in the shops being sold. You go to Curry's, Dixon's and Argus and everywhere. Hundreds of goods have been manufactured and sold in this principle. That you don't need it. But they, through marketing principles, they present it to you in a such a way, make you feel that you need it, you buy it, and then you realize it after a while how useless the whole thing is. Isn't it? It happens all the time. Happens all the time. So you got to be alert about that. You can't blame them. Because for them it has become a habit. They have been doing this for ages. For ages they have been manufacturing and selling like this and fooling the people. So this is how industry runs. That's how industry runs. So whether it is medical, pharmaceutical industry, whether it is engineering industry, whether it is financial industry, any industry if you take, this principle holds good. Pensions. You take for example. Pensions, right? And similarly, what's the other thing that after death you, insurance, isn't it? For life insurance. Same principle. Once you're dead and gone, are you worried about maintaining this world? Who on earth will think like this? You're dead and you're gone from here. That ignorance they're exploiting. Your ignorance, they're exploiting that. Telling you that, oh, have you some advertisements when you read from the financial sector? They make you fear that, oh, you haven't done some major thing in your life, what do you have to do? They never told you that, oh, you didn't become Krishna conscious, did they? They only told you that, did you make 250,000 pounds that enough for your family to live for the rest of their life? That's the only question they have to ask you. If not, come to this insurance, you will die, they will get 20,000 pounds or 50,000 pounds. If you start early, they'll get a lot more. But if my age, if you start, they won't give you anything. So that question is solved there. Problem is solved. And then they'll sell you something and the whole life to thinking based on their advice, you are working to pay for all these things, is it not? So you can see this principle, what Krishna is saying here. That how we become, exploit all these things to our advantage. So Krishna is saying that if a person has that habit, like that, it is habituated to that, telling lies, telling, doing things like this in this way. Was one good thing from them that when success comes to them, they won't feel proud about it. It has become his habit. So he's able to write it off straight away. It has become his habit. So when success comes, he won't be very proud of it. He will close one deal today, then he's forgotten, then he goes to the next deal. One house sold, next house he has to sell, isn't it? So he will glorify the other house next time. Once that is sold, he will go to the next house, he will start glorifying the other house. All houses in his eyes is perfect and it is suited to your needs. That's how he will present it to you. And you will think that, this estate is so good, he's telling me everything so nicely, he has presented. And you will see the people, and this particularly you will see these overseas properties. When people who have living here, they want a second home in Spain or some islands like that. How this sales goes on. People go from here and they watch, want to buy the property there. How they present the property, the compared to what is here. And make you feel that the heaven is there. When you want to come to heaven, you can come to the heaven. When you want to come back to the hell, you can come back to the hell. They'll put the whole thing to you in such a way. Here or there, your prarabdham is not going to leave you. You will suffer here, you will suffer there as well. And there are people who gone and got involved in these things and burned their fingers as well in that process, isn't it? So all Krishna is saying here that anything, if it is in your subtle body, that vasana is there, that perfection what you are feeling in executing a particular karma, that in the volition plane, volition it is called, that as long as you are in the volition plane, you are there, you will feel this pride or ego. But if it is not in that plane of false ego, instead if it is in the plane of your svabhavam, it will not cause problem. Because you'll do this and the abhimanam is not there. Ego is not coming from that. So, anything what you have done like that, and if it has gone and dissolved in your prakriti, in your svabhavam, then it is an upasana. So, upasana mandalam. Upasana mandalam means, suppose it is not executed as an upasana. Karma is not executed as a upasana. Upasana means that, how do you translate that word? Upasana means it has done as a karma, extinction of karma vasana in that way. Practically saying in the form of karma yoga. If it is not performed in that way, then then what will happen is that vasana that's coming from there, if it goes and dissolves in your sabhavam, it gets in your sabhavam, that sabhavam will become stronger. Sabhavam will become stronger. You have to analyze this in your own time. Think about these things, what we are saying here. That suppose you have performed a upasana, any upasana. If it is not performed as a upasana, that means instead of staying in the upasana level, instead if it goes and dissolves in the prakriti, then it becomes sabhav. It becomes sabhav. For example, so any pravritti, any work, or sabhavam, if it is your nature to do a particular work, if it is dissolved in the prakriti, then it will become your sabhavam. If it is dissolved in the prakriti, it will become prabhavam. In that case, you can do that work in a voluntary level. That means voluntarily you will be able to do that. Krishna is saying here one important principle, that the sabhavam what you create in this way, sabhavam what you create in this way through your actions. Look at the words again. Shrayan swadharmo vigunal. It's a very, very difficult words. Paradharmal sanushtidal. Sobhavan yadam karma kurvan natnodi kilbisham. In the last verse, Krishna said that. That means, he's stressing this point, that it's better to stay in the work what has come to you, rather than going and doing something else what is not come to you. Paradharmam sanushtidal. Sobhavan yadam karma kurvan natnodi kilbisham. A warning there. Sobhavan yadam karma kurvan natnodi kilbisham. And he is again saying that sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham abhinatyajel sarvarambahi doshena dume agnirivanala. A warning there. By doing some other karma, it is not the right thing, because every karma is endowed with some defect. Every endeavor is covered by some fault. Now, when you have not understood the subtlety of that, you will use it for in the wrong way, saying that every karma is, every endeavor is covered by some fault. So why shouldn't I do it? Why shouldn't I do any karma? That attitude will come. And that is what Krishna is trying to prevent here. He does not want that to happen. So any karma, or our nature to do karma, if it gets dissolved in my prakriti, in my sabhavam, then what will happen? That will become my sabhavam then, isn't it? So for example, some karma you have done, and that karma has got dissolved in your prakriti, in your nature, then that has become your sabhavam. So when you do like that, then you cannot do it in a voluntary way. Voluntarily you can't do that anymore then. Voluntary way, you can't do that. So, for example, a worm that's born in poison, living in the poison, for that the poison is not harmful. Poison is not harmful. You can see that. It's not harmful. Similarly, if you observe this goat will eat anything, isn't it? That's a goat's nature. We can't do that. Sometimes I don't know the English name. In the villages in India, there is a yellow flower and a fruit underneath that. It's very poisonous. So sometimes in the villages, when they want to commit suicide, they eat that fruit. It's very poisonous for the human body, and we will die. Those who are committing suicide, that's the fruit they eat. But goat will eat that happily. Goat doesn't get any problem with that. Goat digests that problem, isn't it? And so therefore goat has no problem. Why? Because its prakriti is like that. Its body has got that nature and sabhavam in that goat. that even if he eats that, he doesn't get into trouble. And similarly, food also, some people can digest a certain food. Some people can digest certain food. See cow's milk, what is sold in the market, some people drink cold milk, don't they? I don't know how they do that. They don't have any problem drinking cold milk. Whereas others, I can't drink cold milk. I know what will happen. It upsets the stomach. So, why is that? Human body, both. But some people can drink the cold milk and doesn't cause any problems. Some others, they can't drink the cold milk. So, so one has to know one's own body in that way. And one has to know one's own svabhavam also in the same way. So that karmam that comes through us, which is svabhava niyatam. Krishna calls it as svabhava niyatam karmam. Remember that word? It says third line, 47th verse. Svabhava niyatam karmam. One, we have to give attention to that. We have to know that. Svabhava niyatam karmam. So, in order to know that, you need time. You need time for that, to know that karma. Attention is necessary, your own attention. Most of the time we are busy battling with the karma, isn't it? Oh, I have to do this. How do I do that? And you are running around trying to finish up that karma somehow or the other. Bosses are putting pressure on you, or the company is expecting this, or authorities are expecting that. So you don't have the time for that. So that means you require the time to analyze it. You need that attention strongly, and you have to be vigilant as well to know that thing. So, so if you require all this alertness in the karma, if you ask that question, we have to make sure that you need that analysis inside. Everybody need that analysis inside. That's why time, when we are engaging in karma, analysis of the karma inside us, does it suit me, my nature, or my vasana, or my svabhavam? And analyzing this does take time in life to know that a particular karma is agreeable or not. But if you give the time thinking that, oh, I've done so much work, now I'm tired, I must watch some TV, and spend the time watching the TV, then you won't have time for that. You won't be able to analyze it properly. Instead, when you are come out of the karma, if you are given time to analyze the karma within yourself and see whether it is suiting your svabhavam or nature and able to come to terms with it, and if you feel you can handle that and live with that, then it is prarabdha karma. Otherwise, it is something you are gone and caught on something else, which is put all the responsibility on your shoulders. So, so therefore, all the shraddha or attention has to be in the karmam, sodharmam, and in the svabhavam that's coming from there. So, the idea behind that is, Krishna is saying this, that you should not move away from the destiny what has come. Niyati. Remember, word Krishna used that word niyati before. From niyati, you should not go too far away, this side or that side. That tendency is very strong in us, isn't it? In the modern world, that's encouraged very much. That they say to you, doesn't matter where you are born, how you are born, everybody should have an opportunity to do. And that is why all the mess what we are today in. In many places, therefore, basically we are killing Varnam in that way. We are killing the principle of Varnam behind that. So therefore, Shudra does the Kshatriya's job, Brahmana does the Vaishya's job, and all kinds of complex phenomenon result has come from that. We can see that in the practical world. They are a misfit in that job, practically, to tell you the truth. But because somehow or the other they manipulated the situation, got in there, and therefore the rest of the world has to suffer from that. So, Krishna is saying, all the time, the attention should be on Swadharmam and one's own Swabhavam. The attention should go there, And the idea behind that is that niyati, what has brought before us, from there to go away from that, that should not happen. For that purpose is sadhana. Sadhana is given for that purpose. That means, what is that sadhana? Sadhana means that all the time to live in this world, surrender to Krishna. Whatever situation Krishna has put us in, to accept that, that is sadhana. That is a sadhana. It's much more important than any other spiritual sadhana what you do in this world. Because if you don't do this, this one important thing, where Krishna is expecting, because if you do that, what it means is that you are accepting Krishna's authority. You see, it's a very important principle. Krishna has put me in this situation, I'm accepting that. On a long term, that is what will do good. Whereas in short term, if you try to go against that, thinking that, oh, why Krishna has put me in this situation? I have got so much opportunities in this world, and I should be doing something else, and all other ideas, if you build up inside, Krishna says, that will not, you will not get that grace from Krishna. So, one devotee asked Ramana Maharshi this question. He asked him that for liberation, he said, you require Krishna's grace, isn't it? He said to him, Maharshi said, actually there is only grace in this world. Only thing, you don't go against it. This is how the modern world, we are suffering because of this. Whereas the rishis and all, they have taught us this lesson. Whatever you have put into this situation in this world, accept it without questioning it and without trying to go against that. And if you live like that, you will have peace inside, and in due course you will see the grace coming from Krishna. Krishna's grace coming in. And only due to Krishna's grace things are going on in this world. Don't go against that grace in this way. Grace is growing like this, you go like this. That should not happen. Grace is there, Krishna's grace is there. Spiritually advanced people, this is their principle. They accept it. What has come to them, live there. But we complicate the whole thing in a different way. So, this going against means that I'm doing this. This is not good enough. I have to do something else. And I have to do it like this way and not that way. And this thing. And I have to become this, I have to become that. All these are problems in spiritual life. That's what Krishna is pointing out. All these are blocks in spiritual life. And I feel that what I'm doing now is not good enough. I have to change it. And I have to make it in a different way. What you are doing actually is that you're finding faults in Krishna's system. In Krishna's system, you're finding faults in this. And more you're finding faults with that. Krishna says here that you're finding that, you're telling Krishna that you have given me birth in the wrong place. And you have put me into the wrong job. You have put me in the wrong situation. Therefore, even if there is struggle there, even if there is problem there, tolerating that and living in this world without complaining, that is spiritual life. That's spiritual life. Not whole life fighting against the nature, whole life fighting against everything about the destiny, and finally ending up with nowhere at the end. So that is the important principle in this verse. Shrayanso dharma vigunal paradharma sunishtidal subhavaneyam karmam kurvan apnodi kilbisham. So there he says here, if you do like that, you will get that power to tolerate everything, every misery in life. You will get that power to tolerate that. So if you, even if for some reason, if you had to go to another place and live there, you will get that strength to tolerate the miseries there. You will get to tolerate the miseries there. And that power you will have. Power you will have. Otherwise, you can see that, suppose this another way. You are living in a particular place and you are occupied in a particular way with work and family situation, everything. Wherever you are. But you can see, suddenly if you uproot the whole thing and go somewhere else, you won't get that strength easily there, isn't it? Because all sorts of difficulties in dealing with the first situation. So instead, if you tolerate whatever problems are here now, and you are able to do that, what will happen is, as time passes through, when that difficulties will slowly go away, and you will just glide over that. You will just glide over that situation at home. That's why it's so important that it's better to remain in one place if one can find a living somewhere, whatever that has been given by Prarabdham, but to stay in that place and execute the life there in a particular way, if it is possible. Because most of the after effects of Prarabdham are like that. Like they say that if a fruit is fully ripe, when it is fully ripe, it will fall on its own. Is it not? Similarly, this whole life itself is like a cinema in that way. So everything what you are coming to you in life is something that is inside you. It's a reflection of that outside. I don't know whether you get that point. You see, things happen in life. So many things happen in life. Many times it is distress coming to us. That distress is a reflection of something inside me. It's coming in the form of that distress, which is a very, very vasana inside me, which is in a very subtle level, sushma vasana. The reflection of that is my wife. The reflection of that is my husband. For a wife, she gets a husband due to some particular sushma vasana inside her. That is what has created a husband in that particular form who has come in front of her. Similarly, for the husband, must have had some vasana in him at some point in his life before or in this life. And that vasana is the one created that particular form of wife who has come to him in this particular life. That is the way it happens. This is the subtle side of it. Gross side, you can see, analyze it any way you like it. Oh, I met her here, or she met me there, and all. That's another side to it. That's the gross side of it. But you have to always understand the subtle side of it, why it's happening. This is not what I'm saying something. It is in the Bhagavad Gita's authority. Acharya Swamiji's Dakshinamurti Stotram is explaining this in depth. In depth. How the world is inside you. World is inside us. We don't see it. Yanis, Rishis knew this very well. They knew. Therefore, they could say this openly to us. See the depth of knowledge and observation they had in the nature. In all of us, that sushma vasana is present inside. So many vasanas inside, very subtle level. And that vasana comes out in the form of friends, in the form of society, in the family. All personalities who are coming to you in your life is because of that subtle vasana inside you. So, not only husband and wife, even the children who are born. Similarly, relatives, friends, all of them. And not only that, somebody crosses you in the street. What to talk about all that? In Salsangam, who is sitting next to you, is also due to, and he also a reflection of a very subtle vasana inside me, is come in that way. That is why Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari says, the world is nothing but a reflection of that world inside. What you see is nothing but a reflection of the vasana inside. Vishwam Darpanam Drishyamana Nagari, that is what it is called. So without any reason, it won't happen. Without a reason, it won't happen. So what will happen is, if that vasana inside is gone, then the person outside or the object outside will also disappear. Do you see that point? That if the vasana has gone inside me, this is how vairagyam comes. This is what vairagyam does to us. That you will see that See, for example, in married life, family life, is it not? We suffer a lot in various ways. Husband due to wife, wife due to husband, we due to children, children due to us. They are also suffering because of us. We are not doing what they want us to do. And they are not doing what we want them to do. Agreement, disagreement everywhere. But and with all these problems, we are trying to hold it together. Isn't it? We are trying to hold it together. So, and you are wondering all the time what to do now. It's not working, we say. This problem, that problem is coming. Krishna is saying here, try to understand why they have come to you first of all. Before I came to this world, there was no wife, there was no children. Isn't it? And you know, by looking at the world, I know that they will be gone from my life. One day or the other, they will all leave you and go. They won't be there anymore. So, a period of 50 or 40, 50 years, they have become closer to you and they were a part of you in your life in this world. And during that time, a lot of interaction happened and you are holding on to that thinking that this is mine and this shouldn't have happened in life. I'm responsible for this. They are responsible for all these problems. And I start going and suffering day and night about this. Isn't it? That's our life. Householder life I'm talking about. Brahmachari don't take care of them. They'll go their own way. Here today, there tomorrow. Worldwide ticket. Brahmachari's life. But we are living in family life. We have got family life. And we are stuck in this. So try to see what Krishna's point is. Krishna is saying to us that due to some reason, subtle vasana inside, they have become your family members. Husband, wife, children, uncle, aunt, all of them. It's a very complex thing. That is what Krishna mentioned before, that while talking about karmam, you remember? What did he say? He said karmam is very, very subtle thing, he said. There's a word he used here, mentions that karmanohabi bodhavyam bodhavyancha vikarmanam akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gadi. Remember that word? Gahana karmano. Krishna is saying this. Gahana karmano gadi. Who can talk about karmam? Krishna says. The way karma works. Gahana karmano gadi. Krishna is saying this. Gahana karmano gadi. If Krishna is saying that, means what is our situation? We can't talk about it, can we? Gahana karmano gadi. It is so gahanam. Gahanam means it is too subtle to understand. Gahana means too subtle to understand. So because it is too subtle to understand, we don't know why so such and such a person has become your wife or husband, or these people have come as your children. And when you see that they are not going along with you in everything, they have their own mind, their own vasanas, they have their own vasanas and mind, and that will come out in eventually in due course of time, and you are helpless about that. You are helpless about that. So Krishna is saying here that once that vasana has gone from there inside us, because the vasana is still there, that's what holding it together. Once that vasana has gone, you will see that they will disappear from your life. There won't be any more a factor in your life. And that is bound to happen one day or the other. It is not that vasana is still holding, that is why they are in your life still. I have that vasana inside, therefore they are a part of my life. Once that vasana is gone, that son or daughter or whatever, whoever it may be, they will disappear from your life. They will disappear from your life. You can see this also in a different way. Everybody has a lot of relations, isn't it? Uncles, aunts, and then you are also uncle or aunt to somebody. Then you are children, grown-up people, I'm saying, children, grandchildren, in-laws, this, that. So many relations we have. If you make a list, it is, and when you think about it, when you went to send a marriage invitation, isn't it? To make a list of all these people who are in your life. At that point in time, you make a judgment, such and such a people, oh, we are not so close with them. We don't invite them. Why? The reason is this. That subtle vasana that was holding you together has gone from inside. So they have disappeared from your screen. From your screen they have disappeared. That's all it is. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. Whereas we think that, oh, we have such strong illusion in our head. They are all part of me, part of my family. And I have to always make sure that they have been invited. So they will invite us. We think like that. Sometimes it happens, you invite them, they don't invite you. Then you get upset. Why? in their subtle vasana, you have disappeared. So that's why they didn't invite you. But in your vasana, you are still holding it back. All this is householder life in this world, is it not? So this verse is an explanation to all that. Krishna is saying here that once the vasana goes away, but how that vasana will disappear, that you can't say. Gahana karmano gadi. Gahana karmano gadi. And only thing what Krishna can say is, the amount of time you are meant to suffer, it will stay. The moment your misery is gone, finished, then it will go. That's all Krishna is saying about that. But he won't tell you when it will go. That an astrologer you can ask, he may tell you that, when this misery will finish. But the simple principle is this, that there is a vasana inside, that is that relationship is holding back. So if it is gone inside, then the one outside will go from your life. That object won't, friend won't be there, relation won't be there, or family member won't be there. Once it's, that vasana has gone from inside. So it is an amazing thing it is, this subtle point. It's a very amazing thing. How in the, I will just mention that because how the example was given in the Shamurti Sutra, he mentions this. He says there that bijam anguram, bijasyandarivanguro jagadidam, prang nirvikalpam punar, maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaijitra chitrikritam. Mayaviva Vijrumbhayatrubi Mahayogi Vaya Svechaya Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaya Namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaya. He is saying here, Bijasya Andari Ivanguru Jagadidam. He says, it's very profound statement that is. The whole world is inside you in the form of a seed. Like who? Like he says here, that just like a whole banyan, huge banyan tree is packed inside a seed. Exactly like that, the whole world, your world is packed inside you. Your world is packed inside you. My world is packed inside me. It's packed inside me. Exactly like a seed of a banyan tree is packed inside that seed. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? A banyan tree seed is so small. You sow it, from there comes a huge banyan tree with hundreds and thousands of fruits. Each fruit has got hundreds of small seeds in there. If you plant each one of those seeds, a huge banyan tree can come out from that. It's a fantastic example that is. That banyan tree's example. How from a small seed, a huge banyan tree comes out. From a small, subtle vasana inside, a whole world is created outside for us. Isn't it? Whole world is outside, created for us. So similarly, in creation, in our field of experience in life here, whole material existence is the seed of that material existence, our material existence, the seed is inside us. And what all happening outside is nothing but a reciprocation of that seed inside, vasana inside. Only those people who can think in a subtle level will understand these things. That's why spiritual life becomes interesting when you understand the subtleties of that. Otherwise, you will start thinking, do this, continuously doing, you keep on doing the whole life, then you don't get anywhere. You have not learned anything in life, do you? So that is what Upanishads, Rishis are telling us, that if you become a little bit inward-looking nature, and if you cultivate that habit, which Krishna is talking about here, he is saying here that the root of all your life is inside you. There it is there. And then sometimes people say, why did I get a son like this? When son is causing problem. Oh, I say, why did I get a daughter like this? Many times parents say like this, is it not? Parents say like this. And you have to remember is that there is some reason to have a son or daughter like that, correspondingly a vasana in me, inside me. And sometimes you say, why is my wife like this? Well, wife says, why is my husband like this? It's all common thing in this world. It's no exception to this. All over the world, It's not limited to one place. And then the modern solution is change straight away. Put another one on the place and see that works or not. Another one after that, if that doesn't work. This is the modern solution. Because the subtle things, they don't understand that. That is the problem. If you understand this principle, you won't complain about it. Whatever happens in life, accept it that way. Krishna will be pleased about that. Because if we don't do that, we continuously looking for our own solution to the problems. It will never come. It will never come. That's not surrender also, and that's not bhakti. Bhakti, when misery comes like this, that is where we have to become more inward looking. Why did this happen? Where is correction required? Correction is required inside me. Inside me. And to expect that, Krishna is saying here, only thing is that, if I say, why my wife is like this, the only answer to that, Krishna is telling me, there's something you have to suffer in your life. That's why she's like that. Or, the same with the husband also. Something you have to suffer in your life. It's already there in your vasana inside. That's why they are like that. And similarly, when there's a problem with the son or daughter, and when there is a problem coming up, you have to think like this, that I'm meant to suffer like this. Because there is something in me which has created this relationship with somebody in this way. They have not come as your enemy or anything. But what has happened is that because I had that vasana in me, that vasana has to manifest through somebody outside. And that has come through the son or daughter or wife or husband, whatever relationship it is. If you understand the subtle level, you will not complain about anybody. There's no point in complaining. Whatever Krishna has thrown at you, take it on board and live with it. Instead of trying to go against that. That is not the solution. Unfortunately, this is not spoken in the world today. The modern solution is changing everything, isn't it? It says, sometimes it's also funny when they say like this. They're saying that they were boyfriend and girlfriend for 10 years. And then after marriage, second day they broke up. So what does this 10 years help? So that's not the answer. That is definitely not the answer. They criticize the arranged marriage system for this reason. Do they not? They say arranged marriage system doesn't work because people say in the West, anybody you send a child to a school or college here, when he comes out, he'll tell you. If you tell him about an arranged marriage, he will tell you straight away. What he will tell you is this, they don't even know each other and they got married. How would it work? They'll ask like that. They will ask this question. Young man or woman, when he comes out of the university, you ask him, he will say this. That they never met each other. How can they get married? So my question is that they knew each other 10 years and after marriage within a week they've broken up. So why did it help? No, it's not that. The principle is this, what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here, if you understand in a subtle way, you will have the power of tolerance to accept all these things. This is what we have to accept. We are not accepting any of these things. We are thinking that we can get Krishna under control through some shortcut, isn't it? That will not happen. That won't happen. That this bhakti process, there is one difficulty like this. It's always thinking that through my some special tactics, I'll manage to get Krishna under my control. It doesn't happen like that. So that means you can call that thing inside me as purva karma or vasana, whichever way you want to call it. Vastu is the same. So all that you have to know is, that person outside who is giving you trouble or who is giving you happiness is a reflection of something that is inside me. As much that, if you accept that, you will solve the problem. So, and in due course of time, because I had that vasana, and on the right time to give you back to you, that vasana, that vasana inside you, to give it back to you, they have come at that time in your life and they are giving it back to you. And and similarly, different objects comes to our life in the same way, like a film. Like a film, it comes like that. You remember, in the film, one episode after another episode, another episode, like EastEnders, Coronation Street, one after the other, in this whole life, they'll be keep coming and going in life. In our life. They'll be keep coming and going. Like a episode, cinema episode, isn't it? You see that? They will finish today, Coronation Street, and make sure that you will watch the next one. That's the way they will leave today. And similarly the next one. And in this way, the whole life is episodes coming throughout our life. Therefore, if it is corrected inside, then outwardly it cannot cause any problem for you. So it is a law which will never be able to change this principle. You will never be able to change this principle. If you understand this and take it on board, you can avoid a lot of misery in life. But if you don't accept it, if you still with your ego or with your misunderstanding, if you act in this world, you will have to suffer from that. This is the principle. With this understanding, a certain detachment comes within from all other members in the family, relations, friends, everybody. There's nothing we can do about it. So, there is no point in fighting with the person outside. If the correction is done inside, outside you will get them. Normally you will get released from the problem outside. Or, in other words, the situation outside will change accordingly. And therefore Krishna is saying to us here that whatever that has come to you through Swabhavam, the karmam. Karmam is also like this. Whatever Swabhavam has come to him in your nature, it has come, you have got that situation, that karmam, don't throw it away. That karmam which has come according to your Swabhavam to you, don't throw it away. Because every life Krishna gives us here is an opportunity for liberation, to get us closer to him. He is actually purifying us in different ways. In his own way, he is putting through the purification process. But instead of accepting that, you start your own purification process, then it will fail. That's the principle. So, in last lifetime or lifetime before that, something I could not complete in my life. And therefore, some vasana I must have had before in previous life. Therefore, Krishna has shifted you to somewhere else to finish up that vasana. Or where that vasana can be exhausted in that new place. And that is why he has brought you somewhere and thrown you there in that particular place. So, instead, if I start changing these things, that means that you're putting your hands into Krishna's law. So that is the major principle here. Only if you remember, it is so packed in these verses, he's saying here, Bijasya andari ivanguru jagadidam prang nirvigalpam punar maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaijitra chitrikritam maya viva vijrambayatabhi mahayogi vaya svechaya tasmai shri. Lord Shiva is instructing this to his disciples, Vasishta, Narada Maharshi, Patanjali. They are all sitting in front of him and he is saying this to him. This Dakshinamurti Sotram is coming from that. It's considered to be in among the Upanishads, Kaida, Upanishads knowledge. That they see things in a subtle level. We don't see anything in the subtle level. That is our biggest problem, isn't it, in the modern world particularly. And therefore, they say that we are very crude people. Crude means no purification inside. Practically, they are classifying us with animals who can't see anything in a subtle level. Only we can understand things in a gross level. We can act in a gross level. And our solutions are all on a gross level. Nothing on a subtle level. So that's a big difference between our life and their way of life. He says here, prang nirvigalpam punar maya kalpitam. Because who understands maya? Maya kalpitam it is, isn't it? Desha kala kalana vajitra chitrikritam. This maya, when she does this, desha kala kalana vajitra chitrikritam. She has got two factors in her control. Desham kalam, time and place. She will use these two things and she will put us into that. Deshakala Kalana Vaichitra Chitrikritam. So once you come under the control of time and place, come under the control of these two things, time and place, Vaichitra Chitrikritam, everything looks different then. The subtle influence of time and place on us. Ajahn Swami is saying here that. What will happen? According to time and place, I identify straight away. Is it not? I identify with the place I am born, identify with the place I am living, identify with the people I am living with, identify with the society I am living with, identify with the friends I am got, identify with the family. Deshakala Vaijitra Chitrigradam. That Vaijitram, that unusual thing comes to us in our life. Vajitra Chitrigadam, it cannot be explained properly. Deshagala Kalana Vajitra Chitrigradam. Why? Maya Kradeshu. Maya Kalpidam it is. Maya Kalpidam. And how? But know this very well. He says, Bijasya Andari Vanguru Jagaditam. And this whole experience, what you are going to have in your life, is already there inside us in a very subtle form, in the form of vasana. If we give time for this, then you won't get too disturbed about the world outside. That's the benefit from that. You won't get too disturbed. Whereas if your vision and mind is all the time in the world, set in the world, when anything happens in the world, you start wondering, why did this happen? I should have done this, I should have done that. So many things you could have done to avoid this problem or that problem. But Krishna says it's not so simple. It is. It's not so simple, that issue. That my problem is that I have some vasana inside me in a subtle level somewhere. And that in order that vasana to fructify, it has come in the form of a person outside me. And that person is interacting with me to clear that vasana from me. It is let to allow that to happen rather than go against that and fight against it. It won't work. And that includes your own wife or husband or children or family members, friends, society, everything. You are always on your own. Never to think that I am belonging to this community, that community. No, nobody belongs to any community. We all belong as individual, Krishna conscious, living entity. We have only one relationship. Genuine relationship is only with Krishna. And that is genuine. And that's forever. All other relationships are, what Krishna says is that, Maya viva vijrambhayam. Maya's vijrambhanam it is. Maya's explosion. Vijrambhanam means explosion. When Maya explodes, she creates all these relationships in our life. Mahayogi vaya svechaya. Great yogis have confirmed this in their own life. And that is the only principle Krishna is saying here as the important thing in this realizations he is saying here. So here Krishna is saying that sahajam karma kaunteya sa dosham abhi na tyajet sarva arambahi doshena dume agnirivavrata. Krishna is looking at karma from a completely different angle. We look at karma from only one angle, profit or loss. Isn't it? That's the only way we look at karma. Have you done well or you didn't do very well? Isn't it? What benefit did I get from that? In my own, that is wrong. That is what Krishna is saying here. That sahajam karma kaunteya sa dosham apina tyajel. Every karma when we do in this world, we have to keep this in mind. Don't worry about the results what you wanted from that or what results you got from that karma. It's totally immaterial. The only thing is, because he's saying here, sarva arambahi doshena dumena agnirivavruta. Like fire has got smoke, no karma is without faults. No karma is without faults. So here, Krishna saying here, don't go against Krishna's plan and put your stick there, blocking that. Because if you have developed these qualities properly, then you are like Krishna when qualities are concerned. Like Krishna dealt with this world. If you observe that, Mahabharata war, Rasa dance, Similarly, Rajasuyam sacrifice. Look at the way Krishna acted in all these situations. There you will see this. He had to deal with Shishupal. Yeah? He had to deal with Rukmini. Actually, what we have to do is, after this time we finish Bhagavad Gita, and then we finish Bhagavadam remaining part. We will start from the Bhagavadam from the beginning, and we will go through every incident in the Bhagavadam, and we'll discuss this, how true all this is in relationship with our life in this world. It will make sense to you. What is happening now is, we are reading Bhagavadam. We are thinking 5,000 years ago all these things happened. What relevance has it got for me today? We think like that, isn't it? It is not so. Everything in the Bhagavadam is in relationship with our life here. And how Krishna dealt with this world in his life here, there is so much to learn from that. When Krishna had to deal with Rukmi, how he dealt with him. When Krishna dealt with Shishupala, dealt with Kamsa. They are all great personalities at that time. And Krishna is showing to us that in all these situations what happens. And similarly, we also have Shishupalas and Kamsas and Rukmis and all that in our life, isn't it? It's not that they have gone away. They're all in our life as well. We have got Rukmis, we have got Shishupalas, we have got others also. So in all these situations, there is a lot to learn from Krishna, because Krishna doesn't have to have any of these problems. Why did he do that then? To show to us. He can sit comfortably in his Goloka Vrindavanam and be satisfied. Why did he come and do all these things to us? To show to us that if you accept a human body, and particularly in a household life, these things will happen. And how to get through that, that is what Krishna's life is showing to us in this world. And that is why we have to study that 10th canto well. And if you study the 10th canto, you will see how relevant the whole life is to Krishna's life is towards our own life in this world. And that will make you feel a lot of relief from this whole misery, what one has to go through. Otherwise, if you start dancing to the tune of this world, you will lose your peace of mind. And tomorrow you will suffer from that. Oh, I got this problem, I got that problem. What? When is this problem going to end? Did you see in Krishna's life problem ending? Till the last minute there was problem. And that is the battle, what we have to live through. So Krishna is saying here that this, in our case, even Krishna has used this word, the English Krishna is telling us, when your prarabdham is over, that problem will go. So sometimes Krishna has also said to them, that I have also got my prarabdham. Krishna is saying this, the one who gives us all prarabdham. He is saying this. Because parents find very difficult, when the children find it in a difficult condition, isn't it? It's natural, because of the attachment. And our feeling that proprietorship, and our, of course, to a degree, our ahankaram also inside. This is all the cause behind it. So normally when there is difficulty, it is natural that we ask Krishna for help. That when we find helpless ourselves in that situation. But Krishna is saying to us, when people spoken to him, Krishna has told them, that look, my own children, what they have gone and done. Samba, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. Every one of them, what they have done, isn't it? They were constant headache for him, all the time. Even the last minute before they left, they created a problem and then they're gone from here. So what is it? Why is it all this spoken in the Bhagavatam? What purpose? Purpose is this, to make us aware that you go into household life, there will be innumerable problems will come one way or the other. Before you know, the bomb will blast somewhere. When it will blast, you don't know. How it will blast, you don't know. But it will blast. But you have to develop this understanding from Bhagavatam that this is household life. I'm not going to get disturbed over it. Instead, what I'll do, household life has come to me again due to prarabdham. Otherwise, this wouldn't have come. There must have been some vasana inside me that has created me to get into this household life. Isn't it? So it has come like that. So the right thing to do is to get rid of that vasana from inside by through this knowledge and deal with it in that way, and that problem will only go when the prarabdham is over, and that will go on its own even if you don't do anything. That we have to accept it. Whereas if you put all your faith in your ability and your capacity to rectify the situation and you go along that road, it may not work, may not happen. There you have to know that yourself, that this acceptance is more important than any. That is why these verses are important. And you will notice that when the prarabdham is over, Krishna will move us away from that scene to another situation. Sometimes you can see this. People, one person, he worked all his life and he built up a huge pension fund. And the company was having a big problems with the pension fund. They had messed around with this pension and there was a lot of shortfall in the fund, pension fund. So in his later years, very close to retirement, 5 or 6 years before, this whole news came out in the company, because companies keep this very confidential. They won't tell you where the money is going, what the money is done. Nowadays there is some rules this government has brought in so that you have to give minimum information to the employee where the pension funds are. But a lot of companies used to go bust and the pension fund gone, all your money gone with that. But that was the situation. This person, he was a member of the union of the company. There's a few hundred people working there. So he was the one who had to negotiate with the company management about the pension fund and what the, and they have to give a statement every year. So much money is in your pension pot and you will get so much pension if you retire at this age and all kinds of things, isn't it? So this went on for a while and he was fighting hard for the work of benefit of the employees. And he used to make big slogans, shouting at the, you know, he used to take the guys to go on strike and invite all the workers to protest against strongly this and that. All this happened, and then he retired, and the next day he died. So where is the pension pot? Where is the pension pot? How can you put faith in all these things and live in this world? This is called what? Ajari Swami says, Maya Kalpidam. This is called Maya. It is like this, everything in this world. You can't put faith in any of these things to think that it will all come out right at the moment. Well, he had all the stress of the work, stress of the family, and he has pulled all the other stress on his shoulders as well, fighting with the management for it. So altogether with the whole stress, he died. The next day he died. This happened. This is a real story, what has happened. So many things are happening like this all the time. So, Krishna is saying here that this is all because of this lack of subtle understanding about things. Krishna has put me in a situation. Why do I have to be so concerned about it? Whatever that comes in the way, take it. Said, and when it has to go, it will go. It didn't come to you asking you for your permission, isn't it? In the life, it didn't come to you asking for your permission. Similarly, it will leave you also without asking your permission. Problem is, our mind gets involved in that and problem starts. So, these three things, Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti. That means power to desire, power to act and power of knowledge to do that particular act. Out of these three, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Surubini, Sri Parvati is addressed in that way. Out of that, Ichha Shakti is that power of desire, isn't it? Power of desire. And that is the one causing this problem. It should be like this, it should be like that. And when it acts in a particular way, it creates this problem. It creates this problem. That Ichha Shakti means that desiring power. The desire, in other words, desire in us. When that starts acting, it starts the problem. Krishna is saying that. Look at the next verse. Asaktak buddhi sarvatra. Jitalma vigadaspruha. Naishkarmya siddhim paramam. सन्यासेनाधिगच्छति असक्त बुद्धि सर्वत्र जितात्मा विगत स्पृह नैष्कर्म्य सिद्धिं परमाम् सन्यासेनाधिगच्छति. That is it. Asakta buddhi sarvatra. Asakta buddhi sarvatra. Jidalma vigadaspriha. Naishkarmya siddhim paramam. Sanyasenadhi gachadi. One who is self-controlled and unattached, and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain, by practice of renunciation, the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. This is another important verse in the 18th chapter. This Naishkarma Siddhi, that is an important word there. Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanyasenati Gachati. How do you become a sannyasi? That is what it is. How does sannyasam come to a person? Not that you go and send a fire and take the danda and the change the clothes. That is not Krishna sannyasam. This is Krishna sannyasam. Naishkarma Siddhi. Nashkarmya siddhim paramam sanyasenadi gachadi. How sannyasam comes to you in life, and that sannyasam will be perfect for the rest if this stage comes to us in life. Nashkarmya siddhi. Nashkarmya siddhi is sannyasam. And that nashkarmya siddhi is in the first two lines. Asakta, not attached anywhere. Buddhi, sarvatra, all over, no attachment. Asakta buddhim sarvatra. Then, Jidalma Vigataspraha. Jidalma Vigataspraha. He has a control, complete control inside his mind. And Vigataspraha, he has no material desires inside. So, Sahajam Karma Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanyasenadi Gachadi. Sanyasenadi Gachadi. So, we have to understand all these verses are so important. From each one of these verses, acharyas have written books about it. On Naishkarma Siddhi, there is a whole book. Naishkarma Siddhi, you can buy that book. And it will tell you about Naishkarma Siddhi, what Naishkarma Siddhi means. Similarly, this Swabhavaniyatam Karmam, there is a book available on that as well. Swabhavaniyatam Karmam. That karmam from Swabhavam, how it manifests in this world in each one of us. These are all very, very deep subjects for them to analyze it and explaining to us that how perfect this Bhagavad Gita is. Bhagavad Gita is very much precise language, spoken in a very precise way, isn't it? In a few verses, Krishna has put through all these things. Only when you analyze it, you see the background of that, how deeper absorbing it is for us. The rest of the life you can analyze these verses in your life, constantly analyzing in people's life, your own life, and you can see how true and accurate these expressions are. And this truth is spoken in this way, in the Bhagavad Gita. So, because of that, that last verse he said, Sahajam karma kaundeya sadosham apina tyajet. All these verses, like for example, starting from 45. 45, 46, 47, 48, and now 49. Fantastic verses they are. So much for to think about, so much to analyze, and you will see the beauty of these instructions or the message. So last verse he said, Sahajam karma kaunteya sa dosham abhi na tyajed sarva arambahi doshena dhume agni rivanala. Sahajam karma. Sahajam karma means when you are born, karma is also born with you. What karma you are going to do here is already born with you when you are born. That is why is it said? Because that karma vasana is inside you. That you are born with that karma vasana inside. Isn't it? That is why you have become the what you are in life. Because that karma vasana inside, for that to work, you will go and that karma will attract you and you will be given that karma by Prakriti. Prakriti has given you that karma for that reason. We are thinking, oh, we made the decision, isn't it? That's what we think all the time. I made the decision to do this. And every time you will notice, if you have made the decision, it ended up in problems. Sometime or the other. But if you are able to accept this principle, sahajam karma kaunteya, very clearly Krishna is saying there, sahajam. Sahajam karma kaunteya. Sahajam means that it is born with you. Jam means to germinate or to take birth. That's from that sahajam comes. Sahajam means along with you, your karma is also born. That means when you are born, it was decided what karma you are going to do here. Krishna didn't send us without any proper instructions. He had sent us here. That you have been sent here with this karma to be performed in this world. And that karma is connected with your sabhav, with your vasana and sabhavam inside. And even if there is problem there, don't give it up. That's the message. Sadosham abhinatyajed. Don't give it up, he says here. Why? Sarvarambhena, sarvarambhahi doshena, dumen agni ivanala, ivavrata. So he says, all karma, all work is like fire covered with the smoke. There is problem with that. If you accept this, you know what is the advantage? You won't unnecessarily suffer in life. Satisfied with what Krishna has given and be peaceful about that and don't complain anything about work. That this is what Krishna has given me, I'll do it and get on with my life and don't feel otherwise unnecessarily building up desires inside. And to fill up those desires, struggling in this world and getting suffering from that, misery from that. That's what he's saying here. So one problem, Krishna says, all work is covered with mistakes, errors. And like the fire is covered with the smoke, all karma is covered with faults. There will be some problem or the other. And when you are working in that particular karma, you don't know how to do it completely, isn't it? So, but little by little you pick it up. What you have to do, you learn that. And eventually you learn how to survive there. How to survive there. Just like when you have to swim. Suppose you tell a student who wants to learn swimming, you tell him to sit next to the pool outside in the land. And you keep on telling him everything, how to swim, explaining different kinds of strokes and movements of the body, everything you explain to him. He won't learn that, would he? Finally, you got so annoyed about it, you physically took him and threw him into the water. Then he will learn. So, or if you read a book about swimming, you won't get it, would you? So, not only any lecture, any book cannot help you at that time. So, similarly, life, you have to live in this world to know it, what it is. You have to live in this world. Only then you will know what it is. And what will happen is, this life will teach us not to come back here again. That is the purpose of all this life. To create that vairagyam inside. This is the highest knowledge Krishna has to give to this world. He told Uddhava the same thing, did he not? What did he say to him at the end? Tandu sarvam parityaja. He realized that Uddhava is close to that stage. He says to him, walk through this world, sneham sajana bandushu, my avesha mana, samyak, samadrik, vijarasogam. So, in order that vairagyam has to come to us, to learn that you have to live in this world. And when all these problems are coming, more and more you get away from this world. You start realizing, this place is not for me. This place is not for me. That vairagyam must come. If that vairagyam is coming, that means your life is successful. If that vairagyam didn't come, whole life you are battling with the world, and finally you left this world in that state, it was a loss. It was a loss. Life was a loss. That's the way Krishna is explaining there. So, you can see in the olden days, in the forests and all that, there was no way to walk through the forest. But what happened? People started taking one particular route. And that became established as the road later. Everybody starts walking through that route. So naturally there won't be any plants will grow. Plants won't grow there. There won't be any thorns. It will be walking route. That's how all these walking routes have developed, isn't it? Now, because farmers want to take back everything, government had to put back, this is the route, 43 number, and they will show a direction like this. And all over the countryside, if you look, you will see there. How did it become a walking route? Because people have walked in that route some time, long time back, and it became established in that way. So, similarly, life is also like that. You keep going through this life, and the way will be clear to us. In its own way, we will know what I have to do in my life. What I have to do in your life. Instead, if somebody gives you a lecture, nowadays everything is lecture, isn't it? If somebody gives you a lecture about life, or if you go for a course, there is no subject in this world today for which there is no course available. It's ridiculous this has gone to, isn't it? When you think about that, everything there is a course available. And what spiritualists are doing is, they make everything a spiritual issue and they run a course on that. Is it not? It's amazing how they can make courses out of topics which you never even thought about. Things which are not a problem in your life, they have made a course out of that. They have made a course out of that. Yeah. Like you can see maternity courses, this, that, there's so many other things. So if you want to be a husband, you have to know all these things, do you? All these things, how does that happen? In the ancient times, there was no all these facilities. People still having children. Babies were born. Mothers were born. Mothers had babies. What doesn't it happen? But now, no. They treat you as though you're a right idiot from the right day one. Then you don't know anything about this life. And then start courses after courses on every nonsense. So nobody else can teach you how to live in this world. Krishna is telling us the very fundamentals of life. And if you absorb that and put it in your own life, particularly Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is a good direction in life. Because it's coming from the right source. But these courses and seminars, it's not always right. One person is saying that how, because he was a successful devotee in his married life, he's running around all over the world now telling ISKCON devotees how to have a proper married life. That's another course he has started. The only success he had was, he says, he had few children and they all lived a life out of the system. And he says he considers himself successful in his spiritual life. So he is traveling around and there are people hosting them and giving classes about all this. This is the world. This is how it is. Then you know, somebody else has known, I have to tell you how to live a householder life in this world. You know that what is required, the standard Krishna has spoken, if you take that seriously, then that is the solution to the problem. So, and not only that, by listening to somebody else's life and his life story, I won't be able to live that life. It's not possible. Because his vasana and purpose for which Krishna had sent him here is different than my vasana and the purpose for which Krishna had sent me here. So trying to compare this, people like all these things. If somebody, one successful householder comes and tells you, sits here and tells you that he had a fantastic family, wife, fantastic children, all of them are very well settled in life, then you start looking at him thinking, he's a very successful family man. So whatever he says must be the truth. And then they start writing books about that, some CDs about that, it will all be sold in the market, and he made some money and he goes. This is what the whole fun of the whole thing. So that's why, and this is broadcast in the Mayapur TV and all other TV there also. And this is all these TV programs is all about. We think there is something big going on there, isn't it? Actually, if you analyze all these things, you can see the falsity of the whole thing, because you don't know what life is all about. What Krishna is saying here, if you take a little bit seriously, you won't listen to all this rubbish. You won't. Because Krishna is saying here, every one of us, sahajam karma kaunteya, that's what that word is indicating. that you have come here, Krishna has put you here, and Krishna has a purpose behind putting you here. Certain karma has already been packed inside in your subtle body in the form of vasana, and that must happen here. And that's how you had been sent here. And if you start thinking, listening to somebody, that he's a successful businessman or a successful householder, and I will follow him because he is my role model, and you try to follow him, it will not work. That is the principle. So, that is the most important point. So, your life only you can find out. Nobody else can find it out for you. And the general tattvam, general principle involved in that, that's what Krishna has spoken here. So, all life in this world, all life is in this world is existing in Atma, in the soul. And that soul is one. And that soul is one. And that is the first principle to understand. All living beings in this creation and all their life and life experience is happening where? In that one Atma, which is present in everyone, and that's one. One Atma. And that is Krishna Surupam. Krishna Surupam is that. You know, this is more interesting. How, when we don't understand spiritual things properly, we read about Krishna's beauty, isn't it? There is so many verses in the Puranas and also in the poets when they have written about Krishna's beauty. Poets write very, very nicely about Krishna's beauty, isn't it? Krishna's lotus face, lotus eyes, similarly lotus lips, and so many beautiful things spoken about Krishna's form, isn't it? Yat trailokya mahi aso api mahidam. In Narayaniyam there's a verse like this. Sam ohanam ohanal. All the three planetary systems is captivated by the beauty of Krishna. Sam ohanam ohanal means of all the captivating objects in this world, the most captivating object is Krishna. Kandam kandinidhan ado bimathuram. That it's like a magnet. A magnet, and it is capable of pulling anyone through the power of that attraction of that form. Kandam kanti nidhana dobi madhuram. Like a magnet attracts people, the metal towards the magnet. Similarly, that form of Krishna is capable of attracting anyone towards him. Madhurya duryadabi. And it is such a sweet form. When you see that, all the sweet forms in this world, if you take, it is the most sweet thing what you can see. Saundaryotaradobi sundaradaram. Of all the beauty in this creation, if you look at, it is more beautiful than that, Krishna. Saundaryotaradobi sundaradaram. Tvadrubam, Krishna's form. Asharyadobi asharyam. It is the most amazing thing of all the amazing things in this world, Krishna's. Bhuvane nakasya udugam. There is nothing to beat that. Pushnadi Vishnu vibho. That is how that verse ends, right? Initially when you read that verse, you start thinking that I have not seen that form. Probably you also have not seen that form. All what we have seen is the deity form in the temple or some pictures. And to make this statement, that Krishna's beauty is like this, there our misunderstanding comes. Krishna's beauty is not spoken in terms of that external form that is there. What is Krishna's beauty? Krishna's beauty is this, that it is in this Atma, all the living entities are living, conducting their life and disappearing here. But that Atma is Krishna. Only when you understand the beauty of that Atma. Is it not? See the beauty of Atma. Atma's beauty is not what you see with the eye. Atma's beauty is the ability of that Atma to hold billions and billions of living entities, planets, and the whole creation, sustaining in that Atma. And Atma holds them, and due to his presence only, all these living entities are enjoying living in this world, and they leave this body and go away. That is the beauty of Atma. That's the glory of Atma. It is not that physical beauty what you see in the picture. That may be attractive. A good artist can project a very nice picture of Krishna by drawing it nicely. And if he says to you, this is Krishna, you have to accept that. Because you have not seen him, have you? And to say that the beauty of Krishna is just that form alone, and to get captivated by that, that is in a very preliminary level. When you start seeing who is Krishna, and what is Krishna's real identity, because when you start seeing Krishna as the Atma, the very adhishtanam, basic principle of the whole life, where every living entity is surviving, is born, is surviving and living his body. Only due to Krishna's presence that particular body is able to live in this world. And that is the beauty of Krishna. That is what Krishna is saying here also. That so, Atma, that is Krishna's Swarupam. So Krishna's Swarupam is Atma, isn't it? So therefore, holding on to that Krishna and living this life in this world is the right thing. Because that is where our existence is. Our existence is based on that Atma's behind us. If Atma withdraws, you are finished. There is nothing left. Is it not? We are breathing. How? Atma is present inside. We are digesting the food. Why? Atma is present inside. And blood is circulating inside. Why? Atma is present inside. Atma comes in different energies in the form of prana, and it is functioning all the whole body. Is it not? That is the beauty of Atma. That's the beauty of Atma. And that is Krishna Swarupam. Krishna Swarupam. Similarly, so therefore, life is different. Everybody's life is different. Everybody's life is different. Isn't it? All my senses are working. Why? Atma is present inside. Therefore, the senses are working. We have seen that in the Kenobanishad. It talks very openly about it. Without which, Durastuti is like that, isn't it? Yonda pravishya mama vacha vimam prasuptam sanjeevayatthagila shaktidharya sothamnyam anyamsha hasta chasharana shravanatvagadin prananamo bhagavade purushayatubhyam. First thing Dhruva recognized when he saw Krishna was this. This was the first verse when he saw Krishna. He didn't say the external beauty. What he spoke about that, your beauty is this, that you, by whose presence all living entities are able to speak, are able to walk, are able to do various things with the senses because of your presence inside. That's your beauty. Prananamo bhagavade purushayatubhyam. This is how Dhruvastuti begins, the first verse. So Krishna is saying here that the life is different for everybody. My experience won't be your experience, it won't be your experience. We all of us will have a different experience in this world. And so therefore, because it is like that, you will see that will there not be problems in that? Yes, there will be problems in that. Krishna is saying there, who doesn't have problem? Krishna is asking that question. So, because all our life is different, each one of us will have problems in our own life. And Krishna is confirming that there will be problems in everybody's life. It won't be without that. And finally, Krishna says, look at my own life. He's saying, Krishna, look at my own life. Because you can look at Krishna's life and see what life Krishna had. Before he was born, Vasudeva and Devaki had to go through hell. Is it not? And plus, six brothers, Krishna's elder brothers, they were killed by Kamsa. Kamsa killed them all. Is it not? All because of what? Because of Krishna. Krishna was the cause behind it. Why did Kamsa kill them? Thinking that the eighth son of Devaki will kill me. And there was confusion about who is the eighth one. So he said the right solution is to kill all the six before that. Seventh one he couldn't find out. It was completely confusing. The seventh one. Born in Devaki, came out from Rohini. So that caused Kamsa was confused about that. He couldn't do anything about it. So at least he thought the first six should go. And without any mercy, he killed them. So can you imagine a tragedy like this for a mother than this, or a father? Also, Devaki, imagine their situation. They were also parents like we all, isn't it? Look at their fate. And Vasudeva and Devaki had to live through that. Imagine their flight. Six of their children, right in front of their eyes, Kamsa cuts them and kills them. Cut them off and kill them there, isn't it? So, is there any tragedy bigger than this in life for parents? So, so we are thinking, oh, Krishna is born, Swagatam Krishna, what is that? Sharanagatam Krishna and all, we are singing happily, welcoming Krishna's birth. But remember this, that birth was not an easy birth, was it? All that misery what they had to go through, Kamsa, Vasudeva and Devaki had to go through before that birth, for Krishna, before Krishna was born. So, like you can see here, that suppose in our family a child is born like that. Before the child was born, we had all these problems. And the child is born, what will you do first thing? You'll go to an astrologer first, isn't it? And find out that this personality who has appeared in the family, what all damage is going to do for the family. You will be very concerned, isn't it? Because our mind is like that, we will think in that way. That such and such a person has come in the family, and before his arrival, there was indications of a lot of disasters in the home. So, and then he has born. So you start connecting these two things. Start thinking, is this person an indication of something worse that's going to happen? So, so then we may even come to the conclusion that this child is the cause of all the birth and is not right what he who has come. So suppose Krishna was born in our family, what would have happened? Imagine you would have called the astrologer first to consult, isn't it? So, and then, suppose due to this child only, so many other children are getting killed. Remember that also? After Krishna was born, because of Krishna, how many children Kamsa has killed? He had so many agents wandering around the whole of that Madhura area, and they had to report back to Krishna every single day how many children were killed. Children who are not responsible in any way to any of them. Because there was no proper justification, Kamsa thought the right thing to do. These ministers have advised him that way. Kill them all, what's the problem? So they went on killing one after the other. And 6 days have gone in that process when Putana came, is it not? So with Putana, first death happened from Krishna's hands. But these 6 days, there is a list of Kamsa's ministers who were visiting home after home and killing children after children. And they used to come back and give an account of all who were killed, how many were killed every day, and which area they went to, and who are the prominent places where they visited. They had to report it back to Kamsa every day. In that process, Vasudeva and Devaki were not in the prison at that time. They were in the parliament. They were listening to this conversation, and they heard that, Vasudeva heard that, Putana is going to Gokulam the next day, on the 6th day. That is the time when Vasudeva got terribly upset. Because he knew Krishna is growing up there with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi. So he couldn't, dreams think that if this Putana goes there, she is going to comes Krishna and kill him. Nanda Maharaj doesn't know anything about it. Yashoda Devi doesn't know anything about it. Rohini is living there with them. And this anxiety, Balram was living there, Krishna is also there. And if Putana goes there and kills them, what will happen? That is why on that particular night, when Nanda Maharaj was asked to stay by Kamsa for another day, Vasudeva goes to Nanda Maharaj and tell him, you should leave today. You should go today. That's why late in the evening, Nanda Maharaj left. And the reason Vasudeva told Nanda Maharaj was that, if you don't go, I'm seeing some certain, your absence, your presence won't be there, and therefore I'm seeing certain bad omen in the things what's happening in Gokulam. He was not an astrologer, Vasudeva. Nanda Maharaj thought he must have studied astrology in the prison. When they were in the prison, some people do things like that, isn't it? You see, when you are put into prison, you have nothing else to do there. And he was a class A prisoner. That means he doesn't have to do anything else. Just has been locked up because of the relationship between Kamsa. So, because in the prison, Vasudev didn't have anything else to do. So, when you are in the prison, you don't have anything to do, you'll take up some hobby. So, Nanda Maharaj thought in his mind that Vasudev had taken up this hobby of astrology, learning astrology. And that is why he is telling me like this. Thinking that Vasudev is a learned astrologer. That was not the reason. Reason was this, that Vasudev heard in the assembly, Kamsa's assembly, that Putana is going next day to Gokulam and there will be, children will be killed there. Frightened about that, that evening, Vasudev went to visit Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj didn't go to visit Vasudev. Vasudev went to visit Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was living in a Upavanam. Upavanam means not the main place, but a supplementary place, they had big gardens and parks, everything. And in one place, Nanda Maharaj was camping there with his cowherd boy, men, friends. They have come to pay the toll, taxes, everything. And when they came, they brought a lot of presents with them from different members of the family, everything, to Kamsa. Because Nanda Maharaj was under his shelter, a subordinate king he was. So he has brought presents from all the cowherd men for Nanda Maharaj. Plus the taxes he had to pay to Nanda Maharaj. He has listed all that accounted properly, whatever the accounts were. Brought that with them. He gave the presents. He gave these tax money also to Kamsa. And Kamsa was pleased. Kamsa heard that Nanda Maharaj had a son. So congratulated Nanda Maharaj for having a son. All these things happened there. And then he told Nanda Maharaj, you should stay one more night here, because Mathura is a city for them. They are coming from the village. So they should go around Mathura and I'll make arrangements for you to stay for one more night. And Kamsa showed all his friendship towards to Nanda Maharaj and told Nanda Maharaj, you should not go back today, you should go back tomorrow. But in spite of that, Vasudev went that evening to see Nanda Maharaj and told Nanda Maharaj, you should go back immediately. You should go back to. And that is why Nanda Maharaj thought Vasudev was learning astrology and he is making some predictions. What actually happened was Vasudev heard this Putana is going that side. You can imagine Vasudev's anxiety in his mind that this is what was going on. So imagine, because of Krishna's birth, how many people had to go through how much distress in life. And that is why it is mentioned here also that Arjuna, that if I start looking at my own life here, how much distress I have created here for others. Krishna says this to Arjuna. And that is why these things are important. We'll come to this afterwards.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahada vagni nirvabanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam ആനന്ദാംബുദിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസുഭനം പരം വിജയദേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാംനാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജസർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിയമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാലാ ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാഭി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാ ജനിനാനുരാഗാഹം തൃണാരവേഷു നീചേന സഹിഷ്ണുനാ അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി ന ധനം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരി ഭവദാത് ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഹി ത്വയി ഐ നന്ദതനൂജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാം മാം ഷമേ ഭവാംബുദോ സുഭയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിത ധൂളീ സദൃശം ചിന്തയാ നയനം ഗലദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിരാ പുളകൈർനിശിതം കദാവഭൂ തവന്നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിദം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിദം ശൂന്യായിദം ജഗത് സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം വിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം അർമഹതാം കരോതു വാം യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാതുലം ബലോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേവ നാപരാം.
in the 46th verse, because these 5-6 verses are together, there is so much interaction between these verses. So, 46th verse, Krishna said, Yada pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvamidam tatam sukarmanatam abhyarcha siddhim nindari manava. That's where Krishna spoken about the perfection, what we told, isn't it? What's Krishna's perfection? Krishna's perfection is different than our perfection. Our perfection is based on the result. Krishna's perfection is based on how much you are become pure. How much karma vasana has gone away from inside and how much you have gone up in spiritual life. That is Krishna's perfection. Our perfection is, what did I get out of it? Two different things, completely different things, isn't it? When you look at the karma and see the results and seeing I've done it well, it's come out very well. Or people attribute to that work as the cause of your success or failure. Krishna is saying that, sukarmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. It is from those two lines that intricate thing has come out. That siddhim vindati manava, perfection of Krishna's perfection is that sukarmanatam abhyarcha. That karma has helped you to free your vasanas a little bit from inside, then that karma is successful. Not based on what the results have come from that. This is an important principle. So, yato yasmat pravrtihi ulpatihi cheshtava yasmat andaryamina ishwarad bhudanam praninam syad yena ishwarena sarvamidam jagatadam vyaptam sukarmana purvoktena pradivarnam tam ishwaram abhyarchaha pujayitva aradhya kevalam jnananishta yogalakshanam siddhim vindati manava manushya yad evam tataha. So, all the living entities, and their activities in this world has come from Atma's presence of Atma. If it's not there, it wouldn't have happened. So, because if Atma was not there, you would not have had karma vasana. Isn't it? And if the karma vasana wasn't there, karma wouldn't have happened. So practically all the karma, its origin is only due to presence of Atma inside. So in different varnam, for example, Brahmana has one kind of karma, Kshatriya has a different kind of karma, Vaishya has another type of karma, Shudra has a different way of karma. So if every one of them, using their karma vasana and engaging in karma in that particular way, Krishna is saying they will come to perfection eventually. They will come to perfection eventually. Provided that, because all the karma and karma vasana is coming from same Atma. Same one Atma, karma and karma vasana is coming. And therefore, whatever may be the varnam, whatever may be your Brahmana or Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra, whatever it may be, what if they perform that karma and use that karma in glorifying Atma, which is Krishna inside, if you do that, then you will come to the state of realization eventually. That's a general concept Krishna spoke in that verse. General, the principle of that, Krishna is saying there. Yada pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvamidam tatam sukarmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. A very general statement. In principle, that's what will happen. Krishna says that. Then after that, in the next verse, Shrayan so dharmo vigunal paradharmal sonishtidal sobhava niyadam karmam kurvan natnodi kilbisham. Where Krishna said, why one should not break that law? That what has come to you through varnam, how important that is because of its close relationship with liberation. Because if you go in that route, it will help you to get released from here. That's the only way Krishna says to get free. Shrayan prashasya tarasva dharmaha so dharmo vigunaha abhi shabdaha drashtavyaha paradharmal sonishtidal sobhavaniya niyadam eva uktam sobhavaniyadam iti yadha vishajadasya iva krime visham na doshagaram tadha sobhavaniyadam karma kurven na apnodi kilbisham papam. He says, very firmly, Krishna saying that a good karma, doing it in a bad way, good karma means auspicious karma. An auspicious karma, doing it in a bad way, better than that, is, better than that is, one's own karma, whatever that has come to him, even if it is done badly, is better. And gave the example that the worm that's born in the poison is not harmful for him. Similarly, one who does the karma according to his sabhavam, he will not have any sinful reactions from that. He will not have any sinful reactions from that. That is, and you know that Brahmana's karma has Brahmana nature in that, isn't it? Remember, when Krishna spoke about Brahmana's karma, he mentioned a few things. What did they say? He said that shamam dhamam tapas shaujam shandi arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma subhavajam. So karma and subhavam is closely connected. That is why it is brahma karma subhavajam. So if these qualities are present in a person, and if he is acting as a brahmana, it is perfect. But if these qualities are present in him, and if he acts like a shudra, that's wrong. That's what he's saying there. So karma and svabhavam are closely connected. Again, look at the next words. Shauryam tejo dradhir dakshyam yuddhe japi apalayanam danam ishvara bhavascha kshatram karma svabhavajam. Everything karma svabhavam. From there you can understand karma and svabhavam is closely connected. That means these qualities, heroism and courage, cleverness, and not running away from the battlefield, ability to give in charity, and capacity to control others, Ishvara Bhava, all these things are Kshatriya nature. If that is present in him, then he should engage in Kshatra Karma. Instead, if he goes and does a Shudra Karma, it will not work. It will not work for him. Similarly, third one also. Again, you can see there, Vaishya Karma Subhavajam. Shudra Syavi Subhavajam. So, karma svabhavam very close. There's, you can't separate them out. Krishi Goraksha Vanijam Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. Business, doing cow production, agriculture, and always that desire to increasing, more, endlessly increasing the wealth. It is the nature of the Vaishya. Can't stop that. Similarly, Parijaryatmakam Karma Shudra Syavi Svabhavajam. Shudra nature is that he wants to assist all other three, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, in their execution. So we have seen all that. So here, he is saying here that one who does according to his svabhavam, his karmam, he won't have a problem. Svabhava nidam karma kurvanam vishajada iva krimi kilbisham na apnodi iti uktam. Paradharmaha cha bhayavaha iti analmanyaha cha nahi kashchil shnavabi akarmakil trishnadi iti. Again, Krishna is connecting back with the third chapter here. He is saying here that one who has been given, prarabdham has given to him, what prarabdha karma has come to him, if he is doing that, he won't have any problem from that karma. Because it's come through prarabdham, I have to do it, I'm doing that. And if you try to do somebody else's karma, that is frightening, Krishna says, because he will end up in problems. He will create, his vasanas won't go away, number one. He will create fresh vasanas from the other karma. Because karmams are, vasana is not getting dissolved, he's creating. And he also mentions there, karmam is, you cannot stop. It's always there. Remember this? Krishna mentions that. Where does he say? Nahi kaschil chanamabhi jato tishtati akarmakral. There is a verse. Three, five. Look at that verse. You see how the subtle connection between these verses. Nahi kaschil chanamabhi jati tishtati akarmakral. Karyade avashak karma sarva prakritijair gunaihi. Very important verse. Nahi kaschil kshanamabhi jadu tishtatya karma kral. Then, karyade avashak karma sarva prakritijair gunaihi. Isn't it? Says there. Not even a second you can stay away without doing karma. Nahi kaschil kshanamabhi jadu tishtati akarma kral. Being akarmi. Without doing any അകർമ്മം വിതൗട്ട് ഡൂയിങ് എനി കർമ്മം ജാതുദുഷ്ടത്തെ കർമ്മകൃത് കാര്യതേ അവശകർമ്മം എവ്രി വൺ ഈസ് ബൗണ്ട് ബൈ കർമ്മം നോ ബഡി ഈസ് ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് സർവം പ്രകൃതി ജയർ ഗുണൈഹി എവ്രിതിങ് കമ്മിങ് ഫ്രം മൈ സ്വഭാവം പ്രകൃതി ഓർ ദ ഗുണം മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ ഓൾ സെയിം പ്രകൃതി മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ സ്വഭാവം ഇസ് ഓൾ വൺ തിങ് ഡു നോട്ട് ഗെറ്റ് കൺഫ്യൂസ്ഡ് വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് Sometimes people ask, where is modes of nature, where is Svabhava, where is Prakriti? They are all same. They are not different. Some people call it as Prakriti. In Sankhyam, they call it as Prakriti. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Vedanta, they call it as Svabhava. And sometimes it's addressed as three modes of nature. In Vastu, in reality, it's the one and the same thing. There is something there that is holding us back, and that is Karmam, Prakriti, Svabhava, or Prakriti, or Trigunam, whatever we call it, Pratishyar Gunai. So what does that say? That says that you will never be able to sit quiet. You will be doing some karvam or the other. Only who have gone beyond this, that is another category. That is a very rare thing. That Krishna discusses that earlier. Then in the 48th verse, Krishna mentioned there, Sahajam karma kaundaya sadosham api na tyajel സർവ ആരംഭാഹി ദോഷേണ ധൂമേ അഗ്നി ഇവാവൃത ധൂമേ അഗ്നി ഇവാവൃത സഹജം സഹജന്മനാ ഏവ ഉൽപ്പന്നം സഹജ കിം തത് കർമ്മ കൗന്ദേയ സദോഷമഭി ത്രിഗുണത്വാൽ ന ത്യജേത് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് അർജുന ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് കർമ്മം ഈവൻ ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ദ ഫോം ഓഫ് ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ബിക്കോസ് ദാറ്റ്സ് ഹൗ ദ കർമ്മം ഈസ് ഇൻ ഫ്രണ്ട് ഓഫ് അസ് ലിസണിങ് ദാറ്റ് കർമ്മം വെൻ യു ഡു You can obviously see that it belongs to one of the three modes, in the goodness, passion or ignorance. And because it is the three modes of nature, there will be defects. There will be defects in that. But don't throw them away, Krishna is saying there. Sahajam karma kaundaya sadoha. Sarva arambha arambhyade idi arambaha. Sarva karmani idi edat prakaranad ye khejit arambaha. Sodharmaha paradharmaha chade. സർവഹി യസ്മാൽ ത്രിഗുണാത്മകത്വം അത്ര ഹേതുഹു ത്രിഗുണാത്മകത്വ ദോഷേന ധൂമേന സഹജേന അഗ്നിഹ ഇവ ആവൃതാഹ ഹി അസൈസിയ ദോ ബിക്കോസ് ദിസ് കർമ്മം വാട്ട് യു ആർ ഡൂയിങ് വെദർ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് യുവർ ഓൺ കർമ്മം ഓർ വെദർ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് സംബഡി എൽസസ് കർമ്മം യു ആർ ഡൂയിങ് ദിസ് ഇൻ ഐദർ വേ ത്രിഗുണം ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ദയർ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ദയർ And because three modes are present there, it is similar to a fire burning and the smoke is all around. And therefore, all your karma is covered with these three modes of nature. All the karma what you do. Whether you do your own karma or whether you do somebody else's karma which you have picked up and you are doing that, both of these karma is covered with three gunam, three modes of nature, goodness, sattvam, rajasa. സഹജസ്യ കർമ്മണ സ്വധർമാഖ്യസ്യ പരിത്യാഗേന പരധർമാനുഷ്ഠേന അഭി ദോഷാത്മാവ ഉച്ചതെ ഭയാവഹ ച പരധർമ്മ നശ ശക്യതേ അശേഷത ത്യക്തും അജ്ഞേന കർമ്മേത തസ്മാ ന ത്യജേത് ഇത്യർത്ഥം ഇഫ് യു ഗിവ് അപ്പ് യുവർ ഓൺ കർമ്മം ആൻഡ് ഡൂയിങ് സംബഡി എൽസസ് കർമ്മം ഈസ് ബാഡ് ഈസ് ഫോൾട്ടി ഓൺ ദി അതർ ഹാൻഡ് On the On the other hand, say an ignorant person who doesn't know anything about karma, who hasn't got a clue, all he knows is that work hard and earn money, and make money, whole life. There's people like that, isn't it? In fact, majority belongs to that category. That's all what they know. I have to work hard in my life, and I have to make as much money as possible. And then I have to multiply that money every day, isn't it? Investing it properly, right place. So all these he is called Ajnani. In Shastram, he is called Ajnani because he hasn't got a clue about anything. All he knows is this, what his senses tells him to do. So he does that. Even those people, Krishna is saying, they should not give up their karma. They shouldn't give up their karma. Because if they give up the karma, they'll be finished. They'll be finished. By doing that karma, in that process, one day, something good will happen to them. And they have to come out of this ignorance in which they are operating. So, everybody is doing karma here. And everybody is at a different level in this world. You can see. Everybody is doing that. And from the extreme step position of one person who is completely absorbed in the karma, the other extreme person who is completely released from the karma. And in between these two ends, everybody falls somewhere or the other in different levels. So one has to know where one is. Oneself should know that, where one is situated. That is the secret behind that. Kim asheshada tektum ashakim karma idi na tejet kim va sahajasya karmanaha tyage dosho bhavadi. Why he should not give up karma? The reason for that is, is it because he couldn't do that karma? Or by giving up that karma, is it going to cause any other problem to him? Kim cha atha? Then there is a whole discussion about that here in the Bhashyam, in the commentary. He says, what is the use of discussing this, that person's karma? Because he's got all the karma and he wants to do it. Yadi tavad asheshadaha tektum ashakyam iti na tyajyam sahajam karma evam tarhi asheshada tyage guna evasyal iti siddham bhavadi. Krishna is saying here that it is not possible to give up karma completely for any person. And if you can give up completely, it is good. If you can do that. But that's not possible. That's one reason. Satyam evam asheshada tyaga eva na upavadyade iti ched. That is true. That factor is true. But suppose if it's difficult to give up all the karma, then what should one do? That's also another situation there, isn't it? You can't give up the whole karma completely. Because if you have given up complete karma, that means you are realized. You realize the truth then. There is no more karma after that, isn't it? Kim nitya prajalidalpagaha purushaha yadha sankhyanam gunaha kim va kriya eva karakam yadha baudhanam panjaskandaha kshana pradhumsinaha ubhayada abhi karmanaha asheshadaha tyagaha na sambhavadi. Here, there is a comparison of Sankhyam and Buddhism, Buddha's principles also. Sankhyam says that, like the modes of nature is always fluctuating in a person, modes of nature is fluctuating in a person, similarly, Purusha also fluctuates, that is Sanghi Siddhantam. Purusha's nature also fluctuates. That is their Siddhantam. That Purusha's nature is also fluctuating. Purusha's nature. Or Buddhists are saying that karma is getting exhausted and the person who is doing the karma, who goes along with that. That is a Buddhist philosophy. That means the person who is doing the karma, what it is brought out here is the difference between Vedantam, Sankhyam and Buddhism. Buddhism is a very strong philosophy. And Buddhism agrees with many things. The problem with Buddhism is not accepting the existence of a reality after death. You see? Whereas Vedantam accepts that is the only reality that will remain after death and that is the only reality. This is Vedantam position. Sankhyam has got this difficulty that Purusha and Prakriti in two ways it operates. So therefore they say, Purna Karma Tyaga. Buddhist argument is, Buddhism is arguing that the person who is doing the karma is finished with the karma finally. So what is the point in giving up karma? That's their logic, Buddhism logic. Atha tritiyaha abhipaksha yada karodi tada sakriyam vastu yadana karodi tada nishkriyam vastu evaha tatra evam sadi shakyam karma ashesha datyaktum. So they are saying that, another group, that while you are working, Atma is engaged in the activities and he is creating karma. But when it is not engaged in karma, it is nishkriya. It is not creating any karma. So if it becomes nishkriyam, nishkriya means it's not engaged in any activity, he can completely give up karma. This is another argument towards Vedantam. Various arguments. You know, when philosophically present, they have to put all the questions what? Which can happen from this verse, and they have to answer everything one by one. So there is about 30 or 40 questions in relationship with this verse. And the good side and the bad side of it, of this, what Krishna has spoken. You know, acharyas, they don't accept the words like traffic light rules, just because Krishna has said something. No, that will be analyzed, scrutinized very well. And then they will make sure that they have the proper answer, and if it is convincing, then they will accept that verse, not otherwise. They are not. This is the beauty in the Vedic system. That's not something somebody comes and tells you, you all take it. I've told you because I've told you. You take it like that. What logic has it got? That's not very good. That's not the right thing also. That is why the whole foundation of the Vedic philosophy is laid in such a way, Purvapaksham, Uttaravaksham. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam all, is always spoken what Krishna has spoken. And then what arguments you can raise against that, that's called Purvapaksham. Arguments you can raise against that. And Acharya has to reply all that one by one. That's called Uttaravaksham. So Purvapaksham, Uttaravaksham, and that is how you study that verse. And then if after reading the Purvapaksham and Uttaravaksham, if you are satisfied, you accept the verse. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita. But because Krishna's words are so precise and so much incorporating all the teachings of the rishis to 100%, therefore it has been accepted along with the same category as Brahma Sutram and the Upanishads. Although it has come in the Mahabharata. Bhagavad Gita has come in the Mahabharata, isn't it? So strictly speaking, if you look at it as a literature, it is in the category of Mahabharatam cadre. Who does Mahabharatam for? Sri Shudra Dibirapyuta. Remember that verse in the Bhagavatam? Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam for whom? For the women and the Shudras, it says. Women and the Shudras, who does not have that higher level of responsibility in spiritual life. Women don't have a very higher degree of responsibility in spiritual life. Because Krishna is saying there, that their function in this creation is different than the men. And they have been given that role, and they can become perfect in that role also. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that, isn't it? Sriyo Vaishyas Tada Shudras. There Krishna has included Vaishyas as well. Vaishyas are also included. Sri, Vaishya and Shudra. All of them are included in that. Sriyo Vaishyas Tada Shudras Teviyandi Parangadim. They can also come back to me. Nobody is excluded. Krishna includes everybody. Nobody is excluded. But what is the important thing is that this Purvapaksham, Uttaravaksham, that is the system Acharya Swamiji has followed. Other Acharyas, since they started writing, they also followed the same system. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya and others, they also took to the, even in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, Varada Vidyabhushan and others, they also followed the same system when they have discuss this. So it goes on like this, and I don't know whether we want to go through all this. This is too, so many it is. And when we become Acharya, we can worry about it. Wouldn't think about it now. For us, that's not so urgent to know. Anyway, coming back to this, what we were discussing before. When Krishna appeared, problem. Prior to appearance, problem. Plenty of problems, isn't it? What I have spoken before. Was anything different after appearance? Remember all what happened? Pudana comes first. Then comes Tanavarta. Shakadasura. അരിഷ്ടാസുര, ബകാസുര, വത്സാസുര, കാളിയ, വൺ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദി അതർ. A whole, just a glass if you can give it to me.
And I put that paper inside.
yeah, thanks. That's okay.
No, this is what I want to do.
So even after appearance, there was no peace. Was there constant anxiety for so many people? So initially in the name of Krishna, so many children were killed. Now after appearance also, these demons started visiting to kill Krishna. Yes, and they had come. And so Krishna is saying to Arjuna, if I look into my own life, look at the distress I had to go through in my childhood. So, compared to me, he says to Arjuna, you have better life than me. You're talking in a normal way. You know? So, that is what he is saying here. That, see that verse. When Sarvarambahi Doshena Dhume Agni Rivanala. Every effort in this world will have some dark side to it, including Krishna's birth. After all, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, isn't it? He could have appeared in this world without all these problems. Could he not? This is a genuine question to ask. Why does all these things have to happen? Six children have to appear before that. They had to be killed. Vasudeva and Devaki had to go through this distress to such a level. Then Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda had to go through all the other problems they had in Gokulam. You have to ask all these questions. It's not that, we will read it like this. Oh, it's a nice story. And then we will dress up like all the demons. And then make a drama out of it. And tell the world when Krishna appeared all these things happened. That is not a very intelligent way of asking questions. Intelligent thing is that why? Why all these things happened? That is the Krishna is answering here. That survey, that the answer is this. Sarva arambahi doshena dume agnirivavrata. That even in my case, Krishna is saying, it was not straightforward. Dume agnirivavrata. My own birth was covered with all these kind of problems. And my whole life, if you look, you will see this. This statement is true. Krishna's life, if you look. Sarva arambahi. Sarvarambahi doshena dhume nagni rivavrata. This is how you understand Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, it has no meaning. That look through Krishna's life and you will see that most of the things what Krishna has spoken, all of it is true as far as Krishna's life is concerned here. And from there you can understand those things, you can't do anything about it. You will be able to accept it in that way and then you won't lament about things. When something goes wrong in life. Because Krishna himself is saying this, in my own life, if this has happened, what chance in your life is not going to happen? When distress comes, we start thinking, what did I do wrong? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? There's no answer to all these questions. There's no answer to all these questions. And sometimes our mind will take us into another world altogether and start analyzing things to such depth and trying to find out the reason behind it. Krishna is saying to us, if you can accept what I am saying here, Sarvarambahi Doshena Dhume Agnirivavrata, you will know, including my life was like that. Could Krishna have prevented all these things happening when he was born, when he took birth here? But no, all these things must happen. That is the, because Krishna is saying, in Prakriti, Maya, there is a way of things happening and that will happen. Nobody is going to change it. Nobody is going to modify it, alter it or change it. That would happen. And if you understand that, or if you are come to terms with that, then you won't make any complaint about it when things go wrong. When things go wrong, isn't it? So many problems in life in every level, isn't it? personal problems, family problems, and one problem or the other. But if you have this deeper understanding what Krishna is saying, it won't disturb your mind. It won't shake you. Otherwise, you will think that, oh, all this, what did I get by serving Krishna? What did I get by chanting Hare Krishna? You will ask all these questions. And I'll give up my spiritual life. It's all away. So many people have told like this before. I'll give up my spiritual life because what did I get by going there, by going to the temple? What did I get by chanting? All a waste of time. And then they go back to their own philosophy. No, that's not the right way to understand this. Krishna is saying here that in life, he's saying to Arjuna, so many distress will come and so many problems will come. But we have to live even in that state, in a happy state. And at the same time, peaceful about it. And best situation, as Krishna says, is Atmarama stage. As Atmarama. You have to learn to be like that. Atmaramascha munayo. Nirgrandha abhi urukrame kurvandi ahaitukim bhaktim itham bhudaguno hari. Famous verse in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Atmarama's nature is like that. Whatever problems are coming in this life, in this world, it doesn't touch them. Because they have learned this, how to stay in the spiritual platform. Never get infected with the material life and disturbed over those things. So, otherwise if you say, only if I am happy, I will live in this world. Otherwise I won't live in this world. Then the chances of that coming is very little. That happiness. What you will get is very little. 24 hours, if you get 5 minutes, you could take it that. That 5 minutes happiness, that's what you will get. Most of it will be distress, misery and all the other problems coming from all other areas. And keeping that 5 minutes happiness, rest 23 hours and 55 minutes, you'll be in distress. If you keep that 5 minutes happiness as the goal of life, the rest 23 hours and 55 minutes, you'll be in distress. And that's what we do. Isn't it? Now for 5 minutes happiness, you'll see. Sometimes you can see a person is 90 years old, and distress has come to him, and then he's crying. So you ask him, what happened? My wife died, he's saying. This is all general in this world. It's nothing new. You may have seen this in the paper. Or otherwise, the wife is saying, both are very old, 90, 93, something like that. So, I've seen this example like that one or two times. That the old lady, she's very, very old. They had lived a life, long life, and then children all grown. Children are 75, something like that, close to 70, 75. And then suddenly, and then children have gone away and they have got their children and grandchildren like that and somewhere else is going on, that drama. And here, the old man and the old lady, they have moved into the, what do they call, the care home. Yeah. And finally, it has become so difficult that even looking after them was difficult. And suddenly one day, they knew it's close. The curtain is falling. One day husband died and the wife, she's 90 or 91, she's crying. My wife, husband died. She's saying like that. So the thing is that if you analyze life in this way, you will see this statement, how accurate that is. Which one? Sarvarambahi doshena dume agni ivavrida. These verses should stay inside. You know, they will protect you. It's the armor for us. Because if you have developed faith in Krishna's words, outside world cannot touch you. But if you have not developed Krishna world in Krishna's faith, and if you have developed all your faith in the society, you'll be doomed. You'll go to great difficulty will come. When problem comes, you don't know where to hold on to. But this is the truth. This is the truth. You have to accept it that way. And get rid of that avidya inside of your faith in the society or the friends or relations or whatever who are saying to us. So, So in the youth everything is going on. So you start thinking that it should be like that for the rest of the life, isn't it? So, but it is not like that. Youth is only a few small part in the life. After that you are getting middle age, old age, and then finally exit, isn't it, from here. So distress will come, and finally, unfortunately, the misery will come at the end. And for that purpose, you should not start thinking of adjusting and trying to find a solution for that while living in this world. Always worrying about the old age and trying to work against the old age, trying to work against making adjustments in life, thinking that it will be all taken care of, you know, if I have arrangements made. So, so whatever distress is there in our work, that's the main point Krishna is saying here, in our work and life, you cannot jump out of it. You cannot jump out of that circle. That distress and that work, what has come to you, as Krishna said, sahajam karma kaunteya. Remember that verse. Sahajam it is. It was born with you. And you are trying to jump out of it, thinking that you will come out of it or escape from that. It will not work, Krishna says here. You're already born, and the only option you have now is to stay in that circle, what Krishna has drawn around us. And that circle is our svabhavam, and that circle is the karmam around us. And sadosham, Krishna says, that is what he is saying there. That's like second line. You see that? Sadosham abhi natyajed. Natyajed. Whatever dosham or defects are there, you have to build up that strength to bear that distress coming from that defect. That is what's required. Not jump out of it, but build up the strength, what is necessary, to bear that distress and live in that. No point in complaining to anybody about it. Because the way life works is, like in the Yoga Vasishtam, this story, and I think it's in the Bhagavatam also, that whatever you have eaten, you have to digest it. It is gone inside now. You have to digest it. Vatabhi jirno bhava. That big demon Vatabhi was eaten. Agastya Maharshi digested that food. By sheer strength inside. It has digested. Similarly, whatever problem or misery has come in life, learning to digest that misery instead of jumping out of it is the way. Adjusting won't help. What you have to learn is to accept that misery, it has come, and not getting affected by that misery and able to stay above than that. That strength we have to build up inside. Whichever way we build it, that's up to us. Krishna has left it to us through jnanam, bhakti, karmam. Whichever way possible, build up sufficient strength so that you can remain in this world, in whichever position Krishna has put us in, and still be able to conduct the life in this world. And it is only for that purpose, austerities, penances, deity worship, bhakti, all these things, it is for that purpose. That means whatever distress is coming, you swallow it. So whatever distress that comes from a karmam, and if karmam has got many, many problems and its after effects and all that, suppose you will have difficulties while working in the office, or some people are not cooperating with you in the office, even at home, and even if that position is like that, still you have to carry on with it. So one person went up and told a Mahatma like this, I've got so many problems, he said. What should I do? All around when I look, it is problems only. So what did he tell him? He said, can you wait till you're about 50? Then it will be all right, he said. Because he knew that if you practice it, tolerating this problem, swallowing it, then eventually you'll get used to it. And then you will know that it is not a problem really. It was my mind that was causing the problem. Till you come to that understanding, you have to tolerate it. Because when you are tolerating the problem, you will also observe yourself within you where the problem is coming from. And then you will see that it's coming from my own mind, like the bhikshu found out, isn't it? So the same thing Krishna is talking about here. So, so what we are doing is here, that we are not trying to correct the problem. What's happening is the problem goes away after a while. So only what you require is that strength to tolerate that problem. And once you get used to it, then it will go away. It will go away. Like you can see here that, some people, they keep snakes at home as pets. You may have read this so many places. Pythons at home as pets. You wonder that how can they sleep at home after keeping these pets? Snakes wandering around in your room and you are able to sleep at night. All it is they got used to it. They got used to that snakes. And because of that, especially in the West, you find this more than anywhere else, isn't it? Here, they keep tigers, lion cubs, pets. And like this, they keep doing all these things. So, what it is that they have developed that relationship with them, able to live with them. Similarly, you develop a relationship with your problem also. And you'll get used to it. And you will get through it. Nothing is permanent here. Whatever big problem you may have in this world, it's not permanent. It will come. It will stay some time. Maybe for a long period of time. But then it will go at the end. And just like you can see houses where they have this kind of pets. Like the pythons. And tiger. Or leopard, cheetah, or lions, cubs and all that. You go to their house and press the calling bell, they'll come and put their face outside. Isn't it? They'll come and face outside. And you will start thinking the person is living inside, outside. You are a visitor there. You are frightened. He's not frightened about that. Isn't it? So, if you live with them, you will know what it's like. It is like that. So, you can see this in our... It's only purely due to not having that experience. If you have lived with the snakes, or if you have been in your daily life used to seeing snakes, you won't feel too much disturbed over that. Whereas if you had no connection with any of these living entities, snakes or any other butterfly even, as soon as a fly moves, I said you will jump over from there. Why? Because you had no experience with them. That's why. Whereas you will see in many hot weather countries where everybody is there. From the highest Brahma right up to the lowest living entity, they are all present there. And they will all be with you, they are living at home. There will be spiders, there will be lizards, there will be cockroaches, there will be scorpions. These are all common guests at the house. Snakes also. Apart from all the other invited guests like dogs and tigers and whatever that is. And then the chicken will be there, goats will be there, cows will be there, and all other animal living entities whom you don't normally see in the garden. And they will all be present in the house. But then what happens? They're also sleeping at night. All these living entities are also in their house. They don't cry. They think they also are part of us. And you accept it like that. So, similarly, we have done a lot of wrong things in our life. We have to acknowledge that first. In this life, previous life, we don't know what we have done. We don't know that, what we have done. But there is every indication to us we have done a lot. Otherwise, this distress should not be coming in this way. It's coming in life, in different forms. Yeah. So, when they come, you have to acknowledge that it is my prarabdham. And therefore, Krishna is saying that if you understood this relationship between your prarabdha karmam, which is maturing now, because it's matured it, that is why this is coming in the form of distress now. It's coming in the form of distress because it is matured now. What is in storage which is not matured, we don't know. That may be a lot still lying there. So they are all on its way, one after the other coming. In this life, part of it is matured and that is coming in the form of distress. But normally people won't admit that, would they? Everybody thinks we are the most saintly people in this creation. That's what we are all thinking about ourselves. But the truth is not that. Truth is not that. Ajamila has done nothing compared to what we have done. Ajamila has done nothing compared to what we have done. What we must have done, and that is what is coming back to us in different, through different people, through different experiences, family members and society and in the friends and all other circle. And Krishna is saying here in these verses, what Krishna is trying to point out is this, that even though all this distress is coming to you, and none of them are not even favorable to you, because they are all giving you trouble and distress only, you should still learn how to be situated within the yourself, within me, within the self. And you have to learn how to remain in the middle of all these problems. How to be situated within the middle of all these problems. That is that line is saying. Sadosham api na tyajed. Sahajam karma daundeya. Sadosham api na tyajel. And sarvaram bahidoshena dume agmiriva vradaham. That verse is a strong indication to that. If you have understood all these things what we have spoken, then you can, if you have accepted that, then this verse will make sense to you. Otherwise not. Don't simply think that, oh, sahajam karma kaute. Krishna is saying that you are born with all the karma. Sadosha vinatyaje sarvaram mahidoshena dhume agniri vanada. Just don't look it as a, don't take it as a literary verse, literal meaning. That means literally you will say, oh, fire has got smoke, so all therefore all karma has got its defect, and therefore I can do any karma I like and tell the world that I have done this karma and it didn't come out very well. The reason is every karma has got its defect. That's what people do, don't they? They say like this. They'll go and do some nonsense and they'll say every karma has got its defect. Krishna is not what he is saying there. That's what we are discussing here. Sarvarambahi doshayana dume agni ivavruta. We'll stop there today. So this will continue next Saturday. And tomorrow we will discuss. We have 4 hours time. So we'll have some kirtanam. And then Srimal Bhagavadam, when this appearance, Krishna's appearance is tomorrow. So it is necessary we should discuss some what from Bhagavadam. And that 10th canto, 1st, 2nd, 3rd chapter appearance comes. There's a background behind all that. So we'll talk those things tomorrow for 3 hours, whatever time we have. And then we'll leave. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.